Steve, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Today's Thursday. We're very happy that you're listening.
The sun will come out in a little bit.
It's trying so hard. It keeps peeking out. It's a very determined sun today, Wendy. It wants so badly to shine upon us.
I wish I had a determined sun.
I got distracted. I should say it's 59 right now at O'Hare.
What did you not say?
I just kind of got derailed a little bit and went right to the clothes rather than temperatures. But
that's okay.
It's very nice. Actually, 61 warmer at the lakefront.
Yeah, it's pleasant out.
It's deceiving, though, because it looked like it was going to be cold with all the big storms this morning, and then you go outside and you're hit with this heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
Summer's a-coming, people.
It's going to be here before you know it. Don't panic, anyone. I want to share something spooky with you.
I have something
to tell everybody, and it is spooky. Over the last couple of years, you and I have had this uncanny ability, and science can't explain it, to sometimes talk about somebody on the show. Sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about that person. Sometimes it's just a quick mention. And then sometimes within minutes of our mention, that person dies.
Who did we kill now?
You're not going to like this. You are not going to like this. I don't remember what brought this up the other day, but somehow we were talking about British television, and we brought up a show that was on when we were kids, The Two Ronnies.
The Two Ronnies? One of the Ronnies died?
Yes.
Which one?
This is totally your fault.
Why is it my fault?
Because you're the one who brought up Two Ronnies. You asked Jim Peterik to tell WTTW put the Two Ronnies back on
the
air.
That's what it was.
I had not thought of the Two Ronnies in years.
Wait, so the shorter guy?
Your
with
smaller
glasses?
Ronnie. Ronnie Corbett of the Two Ronnies died earlier today.
All right, weird thing.
Yeah?
I know his daughter.
Do you really? How did that happen?
Ish.
Ish?
That's a weird name for a girl.
Yeah, my first year we took trips to Italy. Ireland, rather.
The Steve Bertrand Travel?
Yeah, .com.
Yeah.
8476.
Yeah, owe me.
So we had a literary event in Dublin where we met with a few authors. And one of them was Michelle Forbes.
Well, and, I know that name. Why do I know that name?
I don't know how you would, actually, but it was that Ronnie's daughter.
Oh.
You're thinking of Forbes magazine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
How did you determine then that was his daughter, though?
Well, she told us. You know, we had a meet and greet, and she gave a nice little talk and everything, and she's actually a TV star on this, at the time, it was been a few years ago, this crime drama in Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it was so cool to meet one of the Two Ronnie's daughters. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that's very cool. He was an immensely talented man. I know a lot of people probably aren't familiar with the work of the Two Ronnies. They ran on Channel 11. Channel 11 had this block of shows that started out with a show called No Honestly that was very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Then it was Monty Python. Then it was Dave Allen at Large. Then it was The Two Ronnies. And they would run these shows on Sunday nights for probably 5 or 6 years.
Wasn't Fawlty Towers in there, too?
Fawlty Towers was on Sunday for a little while. But
Keeping Up Appearances?
Keeping Up Appearances was on. Ripping Yarns for a while.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that one? But all of them very...
Again, we didn't have cable back then, people.
Right.
So whatever...
You had very few options.
Yeah.
But British humor was so...
it was so nice. It was fun.
Just so well-developed, and it was both smart and stupid at the exact same time.
You're right.
You know? Benny Hill was slapping old guys on the back of their head for no reason at all. Nobody knows why. But that show, The Two Ronnies, was so funny. You had two guys, both named Ronnie, obviously. One of them rather rotund, the other one very demure.
Right.
And they got on each other's nerves.
Well, the tall guy wasn't really heavy. We just looked at his picture, and we said he looked like, who was it, the guy who played the... Dame Edna.
Oh, yeah. Barry Edmonds, is that his? No, not Barry Edmonds.
I don't know,
Barry
but the
somebody.
Dame Edna,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the guy who plays Dame Edna.
He kind of looked like that, and we really were focusing on the diminutive Ronnie off the air,
yes.
So you totally killed him.
I didn't. I hope that doesn't make sense to anybody. I don't want to kill anybody.
When our groups met Michelle, I have cousins in Ireland, and we were out one night, and I said, oh, Michelle Forbes is coming on with us, and she's like, oh, she just killed this guy on the show. So she was like a central character on a TV show in Ireland, like this mob sort of program. I'm just looking at her Twitter feed, and she has not tweeted.
She hasn't mentioned anything.
In almost a year, so I think not.
According to this story just broke out of London just hours ago. Ronnie Corbett's publicist said he died Thursday today, surrounded by his family, the cause of death not disclosed. Edinburgh-born Corbett came to prominence on the 1960s TV show The Frost Report. In 1971, he teamed up with Ronnie Barker for the sketch show The Two Ronnies. It ran for a dozen years. I'm sorry. It ran for a dozen series over 16 years.
Hmm.
I'm not sure. Maybe there were gaps in the middle.
So 12 seasons over 16 years?
Yeah.
Boy, they had a lot of time off.
Yeah, that's curious. Like here in America, we're doing a thing now where a show is on, like Dancing with the Stars, they're knocking out two in a year.
Right, but if you look at like Sherlock from the BBC, that's like every few years.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah, they do it a little differently
they
there.
They do.
Hello.
Hello. The duo's verbal dexterity, comic timing, and physical incongruence, which included the bulky Barker and the diminutive Corbett, isn't that the word I used for him? I think I did. Made them favorites with millions of comedy fans. At one point, their show had over 17 million viewers. That's a big hit. Their signature sign-off was, "Now it's good night for me." Can you remember the rest? One of them would say, "And it's good night for me," and the other one would say,
"I don't remember."
"And it's good night from him."
Oh, I do remember that.
That was how they closed every show. Yeah. So very sad. Again, I apologize. The last thing I ever want to do is kill anybody, especially somebody I admire.
That's
but
so
you
weird.
And I have
you
a
just
weird
brought
streak.
That up, though.
I know.
Because you...
It was a week ago.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill keeps killing people.
It seems like I do.
Hey, just think of it. How many shows did you just mention and how many people did you just mention in the last 5 minutes associated with the Ronnie Show, et cetera? And now within the next 2 weeks when somebody dies, you've got to go, "Oh, my God, what was that now?"
Listen, no one has mentioned the two Ronnies on the radio in probably, at least, I would say, safely 15 years.
That's probably
right.
True.
So, Bill,
well,
out of the blue.
Did you just mention?
Yeah, see.
Oh, that's not good. That's not
hey,
good.
Dave, we just mentioned your name, too.
No,
say his name.
I'm not saying his name. I won't say his name.
I'm susceptible as much as they are.
Thank you for calling.
Although, what a side business that could be for you and I to just
I
bring in some
part
extra money.
Of it.
If you have an enemy, somebody you don't like,
okay,
you
Mr.
Send
Deadpool,
us, you send us some cash.
You're the original
with
Deadpool.
The person's name, and then you and I talk about them for 30 seconds. And what court would convict us?
It's already happened. People said, you know, you keep killing people. Here's the name of my ex-wife.
I don't want to get involved in any of that, but I feel every time this happens, and it keeps happening, we keep mentioning obscure people, and they keep dying.
You know who we didn't mention and who died anyway?
Who?
Mother Angelica.
Oh, I know who that is.
She was the nun that was on TV all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
she died on Easter Sunday. How fitting is that?
Wow. Wow.
So we didn't mention her, and I'm surprised, because that would be something you'd whip out.
Right, for no reason at all. No, that one... Off the hook on. We're
she was
safe
so,
there.
So pleasant.
Almost cherubic. Or
cherubic.
She, yeah,
diminutive.
She was the cherubic's cube. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Again, our hearts going out to the families, some of them known by our own Steve, of Ronnie Corbett from the Two Ronnies who died earlier today. A break. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I says, winkle smokes and crabs. I says, buckle smokes and crabs. Along the prong we do a bum when lovely grub is up for grabs. With ices,
winkle
smokes and crabs.
Isis?
Yeah.
Oh, I come from Bella Roma and Romano is my
This
name.
Is, of course, the two Ronnies. We have now lost both Ronnies. Very sadly, Ronnie Corbett died. We mentioned him on the show about a week ago.
You did.
I did.
You brought it up. Jim Peterick was on WTTW to talk about the Cornerstones of Rock Garage Band.
Yep.
He was performing, doing some live inserts in the pledge that was going on. And you said, could you tell the people over at WTTW to bring the two Ronnies back?
And now, just not even a week later, we lose one of the Ronnies. When you and I pitched this idea to the bosses here at GN, we said to them, it'll be a lot like the two Ronnies. And they said, where do we sign? We want in on this. It'll be a lot of British music parodies, we told them.
So what? Why did we like that show so much? I mean,
because there was
guys
nothing
on
else
stools
on,
and
it was funny. And I told you off the air and on the air when I used to watch Monty Python.
Yeah.
My sister would watch it. She actually has a wrought iron penguin on her television because at one point it was like, what's on the telly?
There's a penguin on the telly. Right.
So I would just laugh when my brother and sister and mom would laugh because I couldn't understand them at such a young age. So I'm like, oh, this must be funny.
A lot of the humor, to Steve's point, a lot of the humor was probably lost on us.
Yeah.
We were little.
Geographically.
It was very understated and sort of underpronounced kind of stuff. And
right. And it was already, like, when they showed those on Channel 11 here, they were already 8 or 9 years old.
Right.
Right.
So there were references, you know, to things in England that we didn't get, and
King
it was
George
dated.
The Third.
Right.
And,
yeah. Right. And yet, I watched it every week.
Oh, I loved it.
Understood
I
understood about
clothes.
9% of it.
What was it, their clothes where they sat in the two stools?
Yes.
Was that yeah.
Yep. Yep.
A lumberjack. This is my pet bat named Eric. Mm-hmm. There are just weird things that come to me.
Right.
I'd like to get a license for my pet fish.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a pet bat named Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bat named Eric. It really shaped my childhood.
It's so strange, isn't it?
Well, it was nice to meet his daughter and to tell her because, you know, I don't think she had the realization. I said, look, your dad... I mean, I used to watch your dad on TV all the time.
So did she already understand that they were such a cult favorite in the States, or did she just think that their popularity only happened in the UK?
You know, I don't know if it registered with her the way it does with us. Oh. I'm not sure, you know, because...
That's just her dad, too, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
You know, you said your kids watch the movies you're in, and you're like, yeah.
But
I get excited.
If I give her a plug, her novel is Moth Fight, and it's about a young married couple... Not just in Ireland, but in Belfast.
Oh.
And it's a mixed marriage sort of thing, so it's a very cool book.
Does
Michelle
she look
Forbes.
like her dad, like Ronnie Corbett?
She does. I didn't want to tell her that, no.
But kind of a smaller woman?
No.
Shorter lady?
Yeah, she was small. She was more diminutive, yes.
Did she pal around with a larger lady, much like her dad did with the other Ronnie?
She did. Yeah, it was odd.
That's strange.
And remember Dave Allen at Large, too?
Yep.
I remember his missing finger.
He was without one finger.
And that was kind of like a talk show like Dick Cavett, sort of, but funnier.
Yeah.
Because I watched it, too.
I guess I would classify it as, yeah, somewhere between Dick Cavett and... Maybe like John Oliver show to some extent, you know, he'd be making fun of things that were happening in and around Europe for the most part.
It's pretty funny. My son, Michael, who's 16, has just gotten into on YouTube and various other places watching the old Monty Pythons.
Oh, yeah.
Just out of the blue, he just decided to watch it, and he's loving it.
Oh.
It holds up for me, too. Like, I got on a huge kick where I was on Fawlty Towers, Mr. Bean, Monty Python, all of it. It still holds up so well.
But do you know what I mean when I say that all those shows that we've just mentioned were really smart and really stupid at the same time? It's impossible to chart that, but they are. Like, there's so many moments that you go, boy, the writing is so crisp and sharp, and it had to be worded that exact same way. And then a man comes in, you know, with a dead parrot, you know.
Right.
And you go, or maybe it's not that smart, but it is.
It is, and they just didn't make good-looking women. Especially Marty Jones. Was that his name? Or no.
Terry Jones?
Terry Jones.
Yeah.
Was the least attractive.
Yep.
Graham Chapman was pretty good looking as a woman.
Yep. And you always ran the risk, because it was Great Britain, of there being a naked lady who would just show up for no reason on some of the episodes.
Totally why I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just such round, firm breasts.
Always. Yep. Yep.
Sorry, that's what I noticed too.
And as a child, I would say, I hope they invent HD soon. I would watch it and I would say, I hope HDTV becomes a reality in my lifetime.
Did you used to lay under the TV hoping you could look up the
Always.
Skirts of the
Yep. Or I would go above it and look down at
cleavage,
sure. There was one particular Monty Python episode, and it was called The Boring Life of a Stockbroker. That was the name of the segment. And then all kinds of exciting things happened to him. There was an explosion in his house. And then he goes into a shop that's similar to our 7-Elevens, and he purchases a paper. And the lady in the shop just doesn't have a top on. She's topless. And all my friends and I, that you know, the next day in school, that's all we talked about for 6 hours the next day. The guy just walked into a shop and there's a woman without a top on. We got to go to England.
How many times did you go to 7-Eleven that day and get a Slurpee hoping?
Over and over.
Just hoping.
Where's that British lady? Got to come in at some point.
Well, sad to hear about Ronnie Corbett. Is that the one?
Yep. We are down two Ronnies now. We don't have any more Ronnies left.
We need to make some new ones.
We need new
Time
Ronnies.
To make the Ronnies.
Yep, no question. All right, how about a break and then some news and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? His name is Frank Fontana. You can hear him on the air Sundays here on this very radio station, WGN, from 1 to 3. You can go to his website, frankfontana.net, or you can listen to our show, and every once in a while you will hear him live in action. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Wendy. How are you?
We're doing good. What do you want to share with us today?
Well, you know, every now and then I like to scour the vault of the Frank Fontana cave here and go through some products that I'd like to call Frank's faves. It's a collection of products that I seek out and I catch my eye through all the research and design that I do in my real world, you know, practice here, that I think listeners would absolutely love. Some you might have heard of, some are really new innovations. We could get started with the basement, because I think this is always, you know, a thorn in most people's sides if you have an older home. And you know this, Wendy, as a owner of an old home.
But my basement is now permasealed, so honest to God, we had 2 feet of water anytime it rained because the antiquated sewer systems in our town couldn't keep up with the drainage.
True. Mm-hmm.
And we lived like that for years, and I thought, mm-hmm. I just can't do this anymore. So an old, creepy basement.
Well, they used to film the show Sea Hunt in your basement for a couple of years, didn't they? I remember seeing that.
Oh, hi, Bill. I didn't know you were there.
Frank, how are you? Now, Frank, when Oprah used to do a similar segment with her favorite thing, she would give one to everybody. Are you going to do that for everybody? Just give everybody one of these?
Or just to us.
I could certainly make some calls.
All right, see what you can do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but something, they're really accessible products. And thanks, Bill, for putting me on the spot. But
sure.
I will make my best to make that happen.
Oh, you're the best.
No, you won't, but go ahead.
I'll try. Listen, so I hear you, Wendy, on fixing the basement water issues. But what regardless of how new or old your basement is, if you have concrete on your floors, you're going to have some moisture issues. Any house is going to have a level of mold to it. It's going to have some air pollutants purely because anything you bring in your house has toxins that are released into the air. Some are obviously not effective to human beings, but you know, when you put new flooring in and everyone's like, oh, what's that fresh smell, you know, that new smell?
Yeah,
that's my wife.
Yeah, right. It's my wife, my deodorant. No, it's really the products that are breathing and letting off gases in your home that are not good for you. So even if you have a newly, a waterproof basement, you want to think about air quality in general. And this product, Easy Breathe, the company is easybreathe.com. You might have heard them on WGN before, but they just came out with this new product, and it's a system that gets mounted into the basement. And what it does is, you know, you can get an air purifier. You can have filters on your HVAC, but the fact of the matter is new air is entering the home. Old, stale air is staying in the home. And unless you circulate that from the basement out, you're going to get poor air quality no matter what. So this system actually gets installed so sleek, it's so small, sits right on the floor and sucks the air in before it actually hits the ground in your basement.
So is it electric, Frank? I don't understand the concept of how it works.
Yeah.
You plug it in?
It's like a vacuum effect. So you do plug it in. It works off of electric, a normal amperage outlet. And you plug it in, and it sucks the air literally off the floor before it gets and settles.
Yeah.
And you get it installed, and it exits through the side of the home. So if you have a crawl space or a foundation, they'll poke a hole through and seal it up properly. And it just constantly works 24/7 to cleanse the air that you're breathing. So before it gets to the HVAC, you're adding another level of, in my mind, security.
And is it noiseless, or does it sound like a big semi?
No, it's a small little hum.
Oh, it is?
You won't even notice. And especially if you don't spend time in your basement, you're never going to hear it.
Don't even know. All right.
It's a silent protector, and that's easybreathe.com. And think about it. If you have allergies.
Or asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Or asthma, and most people don't even know what they're breathing in. To me, I mean, the cost is about $1,500 to install it, but it's one of those things, if you add it up, how much Claritin you're buying, how much Zyrtec you're taking, how much, you're going to the doctor, they claim that it will cut those reactions in half. So that's got to be worth something. And I just think it's always a good thing to have good air quality.
And again, it's called Easy Breathe. The letters E and Z, Easy Breathe.
Yes.
Breathe.
Yeah, easybreathe.com. Yeah.
All right.
And then moving to the floors in terms of safety, and vinyl floors have been making a huge splash. Bill, I don't know if you still have vinyl in your house. Are you a vinyl guy? Or are you vinyl?
Just as close.
Yeah, my clothes are vinyl.
Your clothes are vital.
Yep. Just your pants,
like
really.
Right.
Yeah. I'd be uncomfortable.
Shiny's better.
shiny and
shiny side out.
Yep.
Vinyl flooring, I still have some, and you can't get it clean after a while, and it's time to rip it up and put some new stuff in. But there have been some health issues involving vinyl floors.
Yes. Major. In Los Angeles, there's a major lawsuit going on with some of the big manufacturers of some of the products that's out there. Now, let me just say this. The stuff that you're talking about, the old rolls of vinyl flooring, that's gone. The new stuff that I'm talking about is, I think, aesthetically as awesome as real hardwood. The look, the texture, they have hand-scraped elements to them, and they're, in my mind, better because they don't really wear. If they get wet, you just pull them up, dry them off, and you can put them back down. Versus if you get a pipe burst with hardwood floor, guess what? You're going to get buckling, you're going to get swelling, and you're probably going to end up changing that floor out. With vinyl, you don't have those issues. So this is a company called Free Fit Flooring, and the scientist who worked at one of the big companies had met this woman, got married, they got pregnant and had a child and was born with autism. And as a scientist, he could not accept that this happened. So he looked into the chemicals that he worked at these labs making these floors, and he found out that 99.9%, he believes, what he was ingesting was passed on to his child and caused him to basically go on a mission, quit the company, and created the most world's safest vinyl floors, and they're made out of the same stuff that baby bottles are made of.
Wow.
So they're recycling that stuff? How great is that?
Isn't that cool? And you can't get a better story. I mean, the guy is working diligently to obviously help his son, but at the same time went off and created a better product, you know, inspired by his story.
Tongue and groove when you put it in where it fits together, or is it like stick-on?
Even easier. They sell, if you go to freefitfloors.com, you'll see a double-sided tape they sell with it, literally a double-sided industrial tape that you put on the existing floor. You make a little grid, and you start off, and you cut the stuff with a straight-edge razor and a T-square, and you could do it all yourself. So
you put it on over your crappy floor?
Right over. And that's the other beauty of vinyl, is that it's forgiving. It bends and flows. So especially, Wendy, with an old house like ours, anything over 100 years, if you got a straight floor, you are lucky. So doing a vinyl flexible floor like this is the perfect solution.
And it's not expensive. $4 or $5 a square foot? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, comparable to any high end flooring product you're going to get. You know, there's some cheap laminates out there I promise you this, you're going to regret putting them on if you get them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's a fair price, I would say, $3 to $5. And especially when you see the quality of what I'm talking about.
And they have various kinds, too. Some that look like wood, some that look, oh, my God, like natural wood. It's pretty amazing.
Tile. It looks like, you know, there's a huge boom in the rectangular long porcelain tile that looks like marble. They have every single look you can imagine, and they're getting just so sharp. The detail on the vinyl is so sharp.
All right. Again, that website, if you're interested, is freefitfloors.com. That's what Frank is talking about. Let's take a quick break, Frank, and then you have more of these. These are Frank's faves. Frank Fontana is our guest, frankfontana.net, if you want more information on Frank or his television show or radio show. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He's Frank Fontana, and you got a reality show coming up, don't you, sir?
Oh, yeah. We were just on WGN TV yesterday doing a segment, and I brought my wife and family on because it's going to be a part reality show and part home improvement show. We'll be making over homes all over Illinois, and my wife's been working with me behind the scenes for years, and finally we're going to put her in the forefront, along with my entire family. Should be interesting.
Frank, you know, because it's a reality show, the two of you will have to fight with other housewives. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That won't be a problem.
All right.
my wife's from the South Side, Bill.
Okay.
She's a tough, tough gal.
All right.
She's going to beat the crap out of Frank on one of the episodes.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I'm afraid of her, quite honestly. I'm not afraid to say it publicly.
Hey, Frank, you and I have discussed this, and a lot of times I Google things. I go to a website called HOUZZ.com just to get some ideas.
Great resource.
I'm loving the distressed, weathered barn wood, and we have beams, just cement beams in our great room. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to get like something to stick on them, like a veneer? Is that possible?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely different ways to do it. There's a company that I love out of Canada called Wall Design. Their website's walldesign.ca. It's in French, Bill, so don't get confused when you go there. You can take a little the English, unless you speak French. Do you speak French, Bill?
I barely speak English.
Un petit peu.
Oh, oui.
Wendy, on the other hand, is like Morticia Adams. Listen to her.
Moi ce soir.
That's pretty sexy, Wendy. I like it.
Merci beaucoup.
If you don't speak French, there's a button to hit English, and it'll translate the website for you. That's what that was all about.
Raisinette.
Anyway.
That means grapes.
Raisinette.
Yeah, that means grape.
That means you have a
hankering for
candy.
I never knew that.
I just know stuff.
You're a wealth of
thank you, Frank.
Useless information.
Thanks.
Barnwood, yes, you could get it now. The look that you're seeing everywhere in the magazines and television, all the home improvement shows, it's a big boom. It's farmhouse chic is what they're calling it. Everybody wants a taste of it. And this company, Wall Design, has a deal with a bunch of reclaim experts out of the farms of Canada. They go around and take these old barns down, and they bring them back to a factory, hone them, and slice them thin so that you're not getting the, inch thick or inch and a half, you're getting maybe a quarter inch veneer of the actual product, which it makes. I installed it in my home. I had my wife help me, my son, my daughter. Everybody was helping because it was such an easy thing. They pre-cut them to different widths and lengths so that you don't have to worry about creating that. Because I think the whole look is everything is time-worn. Everything is not perfect. So with these boards, none of them match. None of them are perfect. There's holes in them. There's, knots, knotty parts of it. And, because it's all varied in size, when you install it onto a wall, it just looks like something out of a magazine. And it only goes for about $9 a square foot.
Oh, that's not bad.
I did it at my house, and I didn't do like a tremendous space. I did a little nook towards the bathroom, and you can actually go on my website or my Instagram and check it out. Just Google Frank Fontana on Instagram, and you'll see a picture of the whole family getting in on it. And it's a perfect little accent, or something like Wendy, like you're saying, to case out existing beams that you don't like. You can use the stuff to just tack right onto or even glue onto it.
And that would hold, right?
Absolutely. You use the right stuff. Use some liquid nails. We'll definitely do it. You just want to make sure you clamp it together and hold it there for a little while as it dries, but it'll hold better than nails will.
Excellent. Masking tape looks tacky, doesn't it, Frank?
Right, and Elmer's glue won't work.
Never works.
The duct tape, though, they make so many different colors and patterns on the duct tape. Maybe I'll just cover the beams in duct tape.
Yeah, you can make that work.
Wendy, I don't laugh. I've seen wood grain duct tape.
Really?
And I've actually seen people do what you just said.
Well, it's up above, so it's not like you're really going to be looking at it if it gives the look you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, only you would know. And
boy, that is really white trash, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But this is, it's so simple, Wendy, that you want to at least check this out. Walldesign.ca is the company, and you could definitely see if it's a fit for you. But just so you people know, like from a designer who lives this world, this trend that everyone's seeing, unlike other trends, I think is actually going to stick for a while. I think it's going to become a new classic.
Frank, you told me that about Southwestern. We put a cactus in our living room. It looks terrible.
I know, but I had a couple of cocktails. I'm sorry.
All right.
All right. I cannot find a mango core anywhere. I have to bring this up to you because Bill left out of all people.
Mango core?
Yeah. Bill knew of it. I love mangoes. I don't know why. They almost have like a weird medicinal flavor to them, but I am hooked on mangoes. Mm-hmm. And when you try and take the core out of them, it is not at all like an avocado where the little pit comes right out.
Right.
Oh, no.
This is a furry, hairy core that does not want to let go. So Bill goes, you got to get yourself a mango core. I said, how do you know about that and what is it? And I cannot find one. I can order it online, but I need one in my hand.
It's an emergency.
I never even knew it existed.
Oh, my God. Look at Bill left paving the way.
Come on.
Bill, I'm impressed. So, Bill, do you have one of these devices?
Well, I, Frank, as you know, I'm a huge fan of the grapefruit, and I had a specially made grapefruit spoon, a specially serrated grapefruit spoon, and the person who did it said, well, I'll run a deal with you and get you a mango core, and at the time, I didn't know anybody who needed one, but now Wendy is in dire needs of one.
I can't find it, and I'll be honest with you. You know how they have an apple core that has a round circle, and you just push it over the apple? This is not round, and it looks like a woman's area.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that because the pit is shaped similarly to that.
Maybe if you went to an adult bookstore, Wendy, they might have one.
other solutions. Right. That's thinking
fantasy
outside the
headquarters.
Box.
Right. They probably have them. Right.
Yeah. That and more.
It's called a mango splitter, and it looks a little female-like.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
FYI, definitely not on the Frank's Fave list.
No.
Just to clarify, but it's a good one. I like it.
Because you want families to visit your site, right, Frank? Is that what you mean?
Of course.
Of course,
Doesn't it resemble something?
Wendy's showing me pictures of it, Frank, and actually I have to have a meeting with HR now after the show.
It sounds like it. I'm going to need a shower after the show, I think.
Look at a mango splitter. That's all I'm saying. And I guess
mango
I could get it at Sur La Table or anywhere, La Table.
You could.
Because I speak Francais.
So wasn't that your nickname in high school?
Yeah,
the mango splitter.
Some of the kids on the football team called me that.
All right, well, it's only $14 and I'm getting it, and it looks like it's going to work because I love mangoes. That is like my new, I can't get enough of them.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Good for you.
Sure.
Wendy, I'm happy to hear you happy about mango splitting. I think it's a good thing.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
We've all progressed, Frank. Every one of us.
This is going to be, you know, that's going to be the new trending hashtag, mango splitting.
Yep.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it is. All right, absolutely. Frank, thank you for all these Frank's favorites. If people want to know more about them, your website, right, frankfontana.net, is probably their best bet.
Yeah, that's kind of like the central hub for all things in my world, and just got revamped, by the way. The new 2.0 frankfontana.net is up. I'd love some feedback from you guys.
It looks good.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Navigation is easy, and that's what you want.
It's in color.
It's
nice. People like color.
Is that his bed?
Yeah.
His furry bed?
Yep. Bed.
That looks like
bed,
Melania Trump would be laying on it.
She was.
Oh, no. Don't, Frank. You got all through the segment without going blue on us. Don't. All right.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, well. Thanks, guys. We'll see
you. Frank Fontana, you can hear him on this very radio station, Sundays from 1 to 3 p.m. I listen pretty much every week. You can also go to frankfontana.net.
You shouldn't have said mango splitter to him.
Furry bed.
As soon as you said that, I went, oh, all bets are off now. There's no more rules. All right, a quick break. Steve with the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The sun has not come out yet. I said that an hour ago it was going to come out in a few minutes.
Have faith. At some point today, you'll get a dose of it. And then I have found that as the year progresses and you get into summer, you get more sun. You'll see. It's coming.
The sun actually is out now. It's out in Sacramento, California.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, that's
and
not
so
far.
If you can go to Sacramento, you'll see a very sunny, pleasant day.
As it tends to be in Sacramento, California.
Right.
We get a couple of sunny days here.
We do.
It's coming.
You guys.
Never rains in sunny Sacramento.
Mm-mm.
We had the most mild winter ever.
Right.
It's true.
And summer is going to be a scorcher.
I do feel like after mild winters, it's a very long time for the spring to kick in. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already seeing spring kicking in. My tulips are blooming. Well, they're not blooming, but they're poking out through the dirt.
They're growing.
Yes.
Right.
Isn't that exciting? Steve, I know you're a gardener, and when you see your perennials popping through, you see some green out there amidst all the dog poop.
I swear to God, it might not be true, but I remember one year when I felt like I could hear them coming through the ground.
That's probably not real.
Weird.
That can't
I think
be. You can't hear them, can you?
I talked to experts, and they said you can't hear them. Like, they're literally growing like...
Help me!
Know.
Are you the tulip whisperer?
No. I'm the daffodil whisperer.
Daffodil something.
I don't get tulips. They don't talk to me. It's weird.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's crazy. Is this disturbing? I'm going to warn everybody right now, this story is nothing but disturbing. Listen to this.
Did you go to the Steve Bertrand School of News? Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, well, you want to warn the listener. You want to warn everybody.
I'm sorry. I'm still apologizing.
No, that was great.
I just didn't have my script in front of me.
Right. Well, but it was a nice segue into telling people, here's a story that you will find entertaining and interesting.
And now you have one, too.
Well, this is just disturbing. Here it is. Three first grade girls at an Anchorage, Alaska elementary school allegedly planned to kill a fellow classmate.
This is first grade?
These are first grade girls, so we're probably talking 5 or 6 years old, right? They allegedly planned to kill a fellow classmate using silica gel. Those are those do-not-eat pouches that they put in vitamins and electronics.
Everything, suitcases, and when it says do not eat, don't you want to eat it? I'm sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me, but...
No, I trust if they tell me not to eat something, I go, well, there's probably a reason. So I have not made a steady diet out of silica gel, but if you're one of those people that finds it a pleasant taste, have at it, I guess. All three students were caught and then suspended from Winterberry Charter School. Again, this is in Alaska.
Expelled or suspended?
It says suspended.
Oh, yeah.
Now, think back to, I don't know, did you have any kids in your school that were expelled? Because we only had a very small handful, but plotting the death of another student would have put them on that list. Yeah,
I don't think anybody was ever expelled. Our poor teachers put up with so much crap.
Yeah. I think the threshold has changed a little bit.
Big time.
I think the story illustrates it, that you could plot the death of another first grader and they say, why don't you take a few days off and come back, think about what you've done. doesn't seem enough. If I'm the parent of the girl who was the one who they were plotting against, I would try to convince the school maybe those kids should go elsewhere for the rest of their schooling.
Yeah, juvie.
Right.
Seriously, they're plotting to kill someone?
That's never good.
I have to hear the deets.
It says they still face, the three students who were plotting the death, still face significant consequences. Principal Shanna Mall explained this to an email to parents of the 32 first graders in the class. The girls had reportedly planned to take silica gel packets, which are labeled clearly do not consume, from their lunchtime seaweed.
What?
Yeah, that's curious.
Was it cafeteria sushi day?
No. Did I mention the part where this is an underwater school? I probably should have mentioned that.
Oh, SpongeBob goes to this school?
Yes. This is a completely underwater school. They plan on taking the do not consume packets from their lunchtime seaweed and then place them.
Are they seals?
No, it says here that they're girls. They're just little girls. I'm confused about the seaweed a little bit too. And place them in a classmate's lunch on March the 22nd. These girls are specific. I don't know why they would choose that specific day, but that was the day.
Well, they had to plan this, Bill. They had to all be on the same page and bring the silica to town that day,
Put it in the seaweed. They didn't realize that silica gel, a drying agent that's used to keep packaged foods fresh, is actually not poisonous. Thank God is right. Their plan was foiled when two students alerted an adult about the plot. No criminal charges have been filed against these students. Again, they're in first grade, so they're probably around 5 years old, six maybe. The school district continues investigating, and the offending children could be expelled, this according to a district spokeswoman. The age is one of the things that is most surprising to people who are hearing about this, said a spokesperson, Heidi Embley. She told this to the Alaska Dispatch, adding that school psychologists are helping with the investigation, you would hope. Anchorage Police spokesperson Jennifer Castro said that the silver lining in the story, see, Wendy, there will be a silver lining, is that the fellow students told an adult about the plan. That is good news. It is.
See something, say something.
So true.
Seaweed something.
Seaweed something, sayweed something.
Salzweedle. I just had to throw in a Salzweedle.
It's a good time to say Salzweedle. The important lesson here, it says, is to really teach your children that if they hear something like this, someone intends to do harm to somebody else, they need to tell somebody that they trust right away. I think the other important lesson is to explain to your children, if you don't like a fellow student, don't kill them. There's an easier way around it.
Just don't invite them to your birthday parties.
That's it.
You can live in the same seaweed land. I may have an answer as to why the silica and seaweed were put together in the same thing. And I'll also tell you what happens if you eat silica gel. Can we take a break?
Yeah, a break and then all that coming out next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. What a story this is out of Anchorage, Alaska. Tragic, really. Three first grade girls at a school in Anchorage, Alaska, plotted the death of a girl, a classmate that they didn't like. Their plan was to take the silica gel packets that you sometimes find in, like if you buy a box of shoes, you'll find them in there.
Shoes, purses, luggage.
And the purpose is to keep everything fresh? Is that the reason?
Dry.
Dry,
It's also, I've read that little white packets are also inserted in Asian snack foods, hence it was right there at the ready in the seaweed containers.
Yeah, for reasons that elude us in the story, these kids were given a diet, these first graders, of seaweed. I don't know if that was a daily thing or once maybe, you know.
It was seaweed day.
Was it seaweed day?
I have cafeteria sushi day. That's Tuesdays now. It changed from Wednesdays. It's a healthy snack. It's good for you.
I guess it tastes good. No.
I bet the silica gel tastes better. Now, were they trying to kill this other kid?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, because they plotted to kill a fellow classmate. Yeah.
I wouldn't go with that if I'm the first grader. I would go, oh, I was just playing a prank. I wanted her to eat the silica gel to see what would happen.
Right.
You don't say, I was planning to kill them. How do they have that urge?
According to this, other students heard them plotting this, and they were talking about that. That would never, as a first grader, not till third grade did I start plotting the deaths of my classmates. But a first grader to think about that, that's weird, right?
Yeah,
that's
I know, very bad
seed-like.
It is, the bad seed.
Yeah.
I know parents go, I'm going to kill you if you do that, but we don't mean that
you
when we
say
it.
You don't follow through? No. No. The society uses, we always use superlatives like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill that guy. You don't actually follow through. It's just a phrase.
How does a kid know that, though? Especially a kid who eats seaweed.
Right. Right. That's so true.
Well, I found some information about the silica gel because it does kind of freak me out. I buy a lot of purses and a lot of shoes, and I collect silica bags.
Oh, you do?
No, but the first thing I do...
Does your silica bag match your silica shoes? Because that's what they say you're supposed to match the two. You look better. You look more stylish if it matches.
I throw them out right away.
Yeah.
But it freaks me out if, like, it falls on the ground because I'm like, the dog could eat it. Right. I really get rid of it. It's like it's a bomb. As soon as I get it, I toss it out right away.
And it says right on the small, no matter how small the package is, it says do not eat, do not consume,
it
dangerous
says throw
poison,
away too.
Throw away. Yeah.
So if there's one thing people know about silica gel, the unseen substance that inhabits those little white packets inserted in new shoe boxes, purses, and Asian snack foods, is that you're not supposed to eat it. Invariably, the ominous warning, do not eat, is emblazoned across the packet, as Bill mentioned. Sometimes it's accompanied by the edict, throw away.
Right.
Really, they have to do
They're
not eat.
They're very serious about it, and they should be.
In case that's not clear enough, a few varieties depict a skull and crossbones. So what happens if you eat it?
You die, nope. Right? You don't?
This is from Slate.com. Nothing. Silica gel is a form of the naturally occurring mineral silicone dioxide.
Yeah.
It's better known in its...
That's what's in my implants. That's what I had my implants made out of.
Where are your implants?
I don't put them in anymore. I stopped putting them in. Too much hassle.
They're not. You can't take them in and out as you please.
It's zippers installed.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't know if I'd like them. And I don't. So I actually ended up saving time and money. Sometimes I just put one in. I keep turning right.
Oh, you should zip it all right. I can't read when I'm crying. Stop it.
That should be the name of your book. When you publish an autobiography, that should be the title. I can't read when I'm crying.
Stop it. What did you do this morning? Did you have too much sugar?
No, I didn't have any sugar.
Maybe you should have some.
Kevin, get me some Kaboom.
God. All right, nothing will happen if... Oh, my God, I can't read.
Sorry.
It's a mineral silicone dioxide, better known in its granule form as sander and crystals as quartz.
Uh-huh.
Its most notable trait is its porousness, which allows it to absorb up to 40% of its weight in water.
Wow.
You could just put that in your basement.
Right. Right. Wow. All of our water's gone. One little package of silica gel.
Could you put it under your armpits if you have a sweating problem?
Yeah. Is this the same stuff when you get vitamins? There's a thing in there that looks like vitamins, but it's not. It's a different color and a different shape. And again, you're warned, this is not a Flintstone chewable. Don't eat this one.
I think it's the same thing. It's just smaller to fit into a vitamin bottle.
Yeah.
Since at least the mid-20th century, it has been widely used as a desiccant.
I don't know what that is. Descendant?
Well, how do we have a radio show?
Is it descendant or decadent?
Desiccant. placed inside containers to prevent the contents from getting damp. That's what a desiccant is.
All right. We know now.
Most commonly, it comes in the shape of beads wrapped in a permeable packet. You have opened the packet, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of times.
What's wrong with
like us? Like once should have been enough where you go, I don't know what to do with this now, but I've done it probably 50 times over the years. That's stupid, isn't it?
Somebody also pointed out that you're the kid who ate all the Paz
the Easter egg tablets. Yeah, every year.
I once realized they didn't taste good.
Every year. I had one every year, and if if I was given a package of them this year, I would have still eaten one. And it's stupid because they don't taste like the color they are. They taste like chalk. But every year I'd go, I bet this year they fixed that. Nope.
That's why I asked you if you ate the silica gel packets.
I wouldn't eat it.
That's where you draw the line?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
If I see a skull and crossbones on anything, I don't eat it.
What if it's on a stripper?
No, I would not.
All right. They're sand or crystals. It absorbs up to 40% of its weight in water, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's used in everything from museum display cases. Why don't you have it in your toy cases?
When I would have cases brought to my house, they always had one on the upper shelves and the lower shelves that I would then discard. What do I do with them?
Put it in there. It's absorbing moisture.
Keep it in there? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, they say museums use it in display cases, electronic equipment packaging, boxes of seaweed.
Yep.
It's popular in part because, contrary to the warnings, it's an inert, non-toxic substance that's essentially harmless.
But they're selling it to you as though, if you even think about eating this, you're done. This will do you in.
Well, it's probably not good for you, and as they're saying here, your body doesn't digest it.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Did you have one this morning?
Right now.
You had a silica gel this morning, didn't you?
I did. Peanut butter
Carnation
gel.
Instant silica gel.
Mm-hmm. Ingestible, it passes through the body and comes out looking much the same as when it went in.
Oh,
so your body
good.
Can't digest it. So right. It's not good for you, but it's not going to kill
you.
It
won't kill you.
At least one manufacturer even markets a modified form of silica gel as a dietary supplement complete with new citrus taste.
Oh.
What? That gives you more roughage.
Wow.
Pushing things right through.
I like that they're trying out flavors. Peanut butter and silica jelly. I'll try that one.
So why all the gloom and doom on labeling? Because a surprising number of people, especially children, mistake the packets for food. Who does?
You wouldn't think it's food.
Oh, I got a little snack with my stereo.
Nice bonus snack.
Oh, new shoes and a little snack. Who's...
Well, when it comes in a stereo or shoes or something, you wouldn't think it was a snack. But I remember as a kid seeing that one odd vitamin, you know, you'd open up a bottle of Chalk's vitamins, and there was one that was a different color, and you go, I wonder what that's all about, but I wouldn't eat it.
Well, that is like, are you talking the little packet? Because they use those now, but there's also sometimes like a little torpedo.
That's the one I mean.
It's like a little cylinder,
right.
And you shake it, because we've all looked at it, but
right.
I would have never thought to
no.
eat it or swallow it.
No.
It's like, wow, this is a weird looking thing.
Right.
Why would you put it in your mouth? We're adults now. Kids do it. All the kids that had these calls to the poison control centers, there were 34,000 over the course of 1 year.
Yeah.
They were under the age of 6.
Oh. Oh. Because
that's what they do.
Yeah,
you
experiment.
In your mouth.
Right. That's true. All right. Well, sad story out of Alaska. Very surprising. We're going to take a quick break. Kim will give you the news and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks very much. It's us. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. You want to jump on the show? We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or you can text us there. We are trying to get through to Dean Richards to talk to him about movies as we do most Fridays. So we're going to continue that
Friday.
Effort. Oh, it's Thursday. Right. Sorry.
You've turned into me. Every Thursday, I think it's Friday.
Yeah.
And every Friday, I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't understand what's going on. It's the gravitational pull. It's screwing things up. All right, you and I off air were discussing this O.J. Simpson miniseries that's coming to an end
only
very soon.
Only one episode left, like The
that's
Walking
the end.
Dead.
That's the end. And here's what I was thinking to myself the other day as it's approaching the end, the final episode. So many people I know, yourself included, are watching this religiously, can't wait for the newest episode. We know how this ends. That's the weirdest part of it. It's not going to be a surprise ending. We know how it ends.
Do you know, I hate watching this with my husband, and here's why. He, like, yells at the TV because he's like, I lived and breathed this in 95, and I, for, you know, months, for a year, so he's like, that didn't happen. I'm like, well, I know what happened, but sometimes I forget what happens. I'm not an OJ expert, so I like to kind of be surprised again.
I know they're taking some liberties. I mean, the basic structure of what really happened you're getting that and you're getting the key players, but I know that they've changed things around to make it more dramatic. Sometimes Marcia Clark herself, after one episode, talked about, just in that first episode, all the things that you saw that were not quite exactly what had happened. So I think we all assume they're messing with it a little bit.
Well, again, it's embellished because it is a TV show.
Right.
And right. And we did see it. I cannot accept Cuba Gooding Jr. as OJ.
That I would say, and it's unfortunate because he's the lead character.
I know.
That's the one where...
That's the weakest link, in my opinion.
Yeah. He doesn't sound like him. He doesn't look like him. And he doesn't act like him.
And I just, I don't remember, and we all kind of spent a lot of time. This is really kind of what took off with Court TV.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So we watched it. It was OJ, and I loved OJ Simpson, number 32, Buffalo Bills, Orenthal James Simpson. Yeah. I swear, I don't know why, but I did a book report on him in elementary school. I loved OJ Simpson. No one wanted to believe he could do this. But he did.
Yeah.
And,
no, he was found. Oh, I don't want to. I almost did a spoiler alert for the last episode, but he wasn't. He was found not guilty.
Which I forgot about. But, you know, last night was the big Mark Furman episode,
yeah.
Which really just screwed the prosecutor's side completely.
Once they established that Mark Furman had a history of very specific racism, that was a problem.
And then I didn't understand, because originally when he was up on the stand and they asked if he had ever used the N-word, he said no, mm-hmm. never. And then they find these tapes where he uses it quite frequently.
Always, yeah.
And then when they bring him back to question him again, he pleads the fifth on everything.
Yeah.
And people are saying that, you know, a police officer never does that. I mean, that was just the weirdest thing. And then I read somewhere that... Of course, he's back in the limelight because of this O.J. Simpson thing, but he works for Fox News.
That's what he does now, Mark Furman does?
For the information I have, despite committing perjury and being caught on tape spewing racial epithets, Furman got a gig on Fox News, which frequently hosts him to discuss racially charged news stories.
Oh.
I don't know. Is this The Onion? Because doesn't that seem like
he might not be the guy I would get if the topic was that. Even though he was in the center of it, he didn't come out looking good. So he wouldn't be my first choice. Tom Bergeron would be my first choice. And if Tom Bergeron was doing something, I would go to Mark Furman.
Tom Bergeron's always doing
very
something.
Very busy. He's very busy.
And where is Cato Kaelin? Didn't he play more of a role in the real life situation? They're not. They just showed him at the very beginning. He testified and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I think I'm trying to remember if they brought him up more than once. I know in the miniseries they had him
at the very beginning.
At the very beginning, the first episode or two, and then he kind of faded out
of
it.
Yeah, but he was part.
He did seem more prominent. Yeah.
And then to see Cato Kaelin where he surfaced, where is he now? You saw him on the episode of.
He was on the first episode of Baskets,
yes.
The Zach Galifianakis show.
It was, and he was being mocked. He was totally cool with it. He was singing the national anthem worse than Roseanne did.
Right, at a rodeo.
Yes.
They brought him out. Yeah. Now, you already know this, but a Chicagoan was featured in that last episode of The People versus O.J. Simpson, and that would be the co-owner of Rocket, the Rocket nightclub, Billy Deck, played the role of expert.
Which expert? Because I did not see him last night.
I swear, I didn't. I watched the show intently last week, not knowing he was on it, and then I always read the credits.
Because you're a film major.
I have no idea why, but I always, no matter what I watch the credits.
And the people in the credits are thankful.
I guess so. I would imagine. But then I saw Billy Deck's name listed as, he was the guy who played expert, and then I'm thinking back going, wait, where was he? I don't remember exactly what he was an expert on, but he was on there. Billy Deck works fairly steadily aside from owning nightclubs. He was in the movie Entourage last year.
He was in the Amy Schumer train wreck movie.
Oh,
I saw him twice.
Yeah.
He was like a bartender.
Oh, right. I do remember that.
Because
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that looks like Billy Deck. That is Billy Deck.
Yeah. He's putting together a resume.
Good for him, but let's try and talk to him, because I want to know how he got in the OJ thing.
In that movie, yeah.
And what he's the expert of. Burgers?
It doesn't say. It just said it at the end, and I went, oh, all right. But then now I'm going to have to go back and speed through it to see what he was.
I'm going to have to watch that, too.
Yeah.
But just to watch Marcia Clark and think, you know, she and Chris Darden honestly did their best, but everything... Everything went wrong for them. There was a really wonderful part of the episode, which I don't know how factual it was, where Johnny Cochran, they went down south And they wanted to get permission from a judge to use the audio tapes of Mark Furman and his racially motivated speech.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to use it in court and present it as evidence. And he was meeting with a Southern judge, and the judge would have no part of
mm-hmm.
it. So then F. Lee Bailey jumps to the rescue and is this eloquent Southern gentleman and gets the tapes admissible in court.
The scene is great.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Nathan Lane does a good job. At first, when he first showed up playing F. Lee Bailey, I went, oh, I love
He's
Nathan
good.
Lane, but that's not going to work. And it does. It does work really good. So that's one of the scenes that I don't remember if it played out quite that way.
And Chris Darden had a meltdown going against Johnny Cochran, which I do remember, but not to the extreme that we saw last night. And again, this is based on that dude's book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I should probably read, but I just can't get enough Travolta. When this ends, there's only one more episode. I'm going to put together a montage and watch it every day. He was really mad in this week's episode.
They should spin that guy off. They should spin Robert Shapiro off into his own show. I would watch it. Travolta, even though it's a strange characterization of it, he was he had a kind of a theatrical way about him.
He did.
Shapiro did, so...
And it's grown on me because the first couple episodes, I was like, he's too Liberace.
Right.
He really is. He doesn't seem like... I remember Robert Shapiro, and he did have this way of articulating things perfectly and using his hands.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so over the top, and it is over the top, but now I've just... That's what I love.
Yep. Only one more week, and then that's it.
All right. Can we take a quick break? And
mm-hmm.
then I think we found Dean.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a Where's Waldo.
We found Dean Richards, so we'll talk to Dean in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films,
we do.
Then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard.
He will.
Yeah, he usually does. America's favorite film critic, Dean Richards, joins us right now. Hello, Dean.
That porn movie, Batman versus Superman, that everyone's been talking.
Right.
Oh, my, you're such a man of steel.
Dean, we read the other day, Wendy and I were talking about this, that in the history of films, no film has changed their box office fortune the way that movie did. It had so many people seeing it on Friday and so little people seeing it by Sunday.
I think it's going to be the number one movie again this week.
Oh, is it?
I'm not one of these people beating this one into the ground.
You're the only one.
I have talked to so many people who have seen this film who liked it.
I have my family saw it. Jimmy Mack liked it. My 13-year-old son Dylan loved it and said you needed that setup. And Michael, 16, it was okay.
Mm. Yeah. That's kind of the reaction that I'm getting. Imagine that. Average people having a different opinion than stuffy old critics.
What's with that? That's crazy.
Who's stuffy?
Yeah.
You have a cold?
Stuffy. It's my probiotics.
Is that what it is?
Sound this way.
That's got to be it.
I was just near a llama.
Be careful near the llamas.
I'm very allergic to llamas.
Oh, you
got to
be careful.
Allergic.
You got to be careful.
Allergic.
Dean, there's three movies coming out this weekend that all have kind of a musical theme, a music bio theme, huh?
Yeah, very true. There is a biopic about jazz man Chet Baker that's played by Ethan Hawke. There is the Miles Davis kind of biopic. It's not a strict biopic. Don Cheadle plays Miles Davis in this movie and plays
Looks
him
just like him.
Flawlessly captures Miles Davis. But instead of this being, you know, slices of his life, it's imagined moments based on stories in his life. So when you're going to see this one, you're not seeing something which actually happened, but you're getting the essence of who Miles Davis was, what it was like, what all three of these geniuses in all three of these biopics have in common, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, you know, pure genius that is teetering on pure insanity.
Yeah.
Because you get a real inside look at all of these people. Don Cheadle's amazing in this movie. Ewan McGregor plays a reporter trying to get a story / steal some master tapes that Miles Davis has, you know, because they're trying to revitalize his life. But if you're a jazz fan, You know, it really doesn't get much better than Miles Davis.
A jazzbo, we like to call it.
A jazzbo is, back in my smooth jazz days.
Yeah, you should know that.
From, like, we ever played Miles Davis on WNUA, we were like, jazz from Kenny
G. Spyro Gyra.
Kenny G and Yanni and...
Sure.
We are crazy jazz heads here.
Come see me at the Green Mill later this weekend.
Now, Dean,
too hardcore for anything we did.
You know the sad tale. The character that Ewan McGregor plays in this movie is a fictional character, and his reason for being in the movie, you know the story, I hope, is not pleasant. You know why he was added, right?
The reason that he was added to the movie, you'll actually hear Don Cheadle tell this story in my interview with him that'll be on my show on Sunday morning. They needed a non-African-American big name in the movie in order to get financing for this movie. Nobody would touch this movie. And you've got an Oscar nominee in Don Cheadle. You've got somebody who has, had phenomenal success on television with his own show and in the Avenger movies. This is someone who is guaranteed box office, could not get financing for this movie until Ewan McGregor became attached to this movie. Now, Don Cheadle tells the story that, this is how much business is in show business. They needed somebody with worldwide appeal. And apparently the studios that were involved in this didn't feel like Don Cheadle had an international following the way that Ewan McGregor has a national following.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's Don Cheadle, tells the story. And it's, for those of you who don't think that there's a diversity problem in Hollywood, here's an example of that.
He was cheadled.
He was absolutely cheadled. And if we hear this story once, it's probably going on way, way, way more often,
yeah,
right?
Apparently it happens all the time.
Terrible.
Now, the third biopic that's opening this weekend is the story of Hank Williams, Your Cheating Heart. Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? Mm-hmm. How about cooking something up with me? That was my question to you. Yes. It's not one of his songs.
I'm good, yeah. Yes.
I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And if you go down, you look at a list of Hank Williams songs, even if he's, out of your age group, which, he died in 1953, you will know Hank Williams songs. He is one of the true legends in country music.
Yeah.
And British actor, of all people, British actor Tom Hiddleston plays Hank Williams amazingly in this film, telling the story of his meteoric rise in country music, another one who abused alcohol, abused drugs, partially because of an injury that he had in his back, and he began taking painkillers for that. But he was also abusing alcohol and was only 29 years old when he died. His heart gave out from the alcohol and drug abuse, and tells his story. And Tom Hiddleston, who you may know as he was Loki in the Avengers movies. He's Thor's brother.
Mm-hmm.
In the Avengers movies and Thor movies. He's had a number of films on his own, number of television shows on his own. He is absolutely phenomenal in this movie. So the biopic, straight across the board, Dean's List B's for all of them. I think they're really great. And I'm looking forward to seeing this Richard Linklater film. I'll see that a little bit later on today, and called Everybody Wants Some,
based on the Van Halen song. And just to let you know, it's a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, set in the world of 1980 college life. So these dudes are now in college.
That sounds like that's right off the top of your head, not at all like you were reading from something.
I'm just geeked because of the music. I love the 80s. So you got Talking Heads music, Devo, Blondie, a lot of Van Halen. I cannot wait.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it, and I've heard some friends of mine who have seen it, and they said that it's great.
Oh, excellent.
Dean, on.
Yeah, what Wendy said.
Or jazz on, you jazz.
I'm holding my fingers, like bunny ears, sort of, like the rock on, you know what I'm talking about?
Devil's head.
I like that look.
What is
like
it? Is that what that's
devil's
called?
Devil's head.
Yep.
That's called devil's head?
Yeah, the horns.
It looks like a nice Easter bunny to me.
That's what
you're
it is.
Holding the wrong fingers.
Dean.
Story of my life.
Dean Richards, everybody. Thank you, Dean. Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's your friends. It's Bill and Wendy. Thrilled to be here with you. It's Thursday. The sun that you spoke of earlier keeps trying so desperately to show up.
It's working hard. We need our vitamin D.
That's so true. Can't get enough of the vitamin D. I want to go back a day or two to something we were discussing. This is us traveling through time. From time to time, the name Donald Trump it comes up on the show, and then we talk about it, and some people call and agree with us, and then other people call and say, stop making fun of Donald Trump. You shouldn't be making fun of Donald Trump. Well, one of the callers that was on the other day was despondent, saying, this comes down to choices. We don't have any better choices. It's just right now it's down to three guys. It started with a lot more guys on the Republican side, but now we've whittled it down to three. And he said, I don't like those other choices on the Republican side. And then he said, then the Democratic side is just as bad. You've got two choices there he wasn't pleased with. Well, I was thinking about it on the way home yesterday, how now technically we are. We are down to five candidates for the Republican side and the Democratic side. I know there's other parties involved, but those are your front runners, or those five. And many people have said, I don't like any of them. So what am I going to do? I don't like any of them.
I don't know that I do either.
I like aspects of most of them. You know, there's parts about...
I like aspects of two.
I was going to say, if you called me out on it and said, give me some of the good aspects. Actually, I'll give you a good aspect about Donald Trump is that he is a master showman. He is our generation's P.T. Barnum. And that's good. I just don't like him in the Oval Office being P.T. Barnum. But I do like the fact that he has figured out how to make sure everyone's paying attention to him.
That'd be great if you're watching a sitcom.
I know. All right, so there's something good about him, I guess. Anyway, here's what I was thinking yesterday when it comes down to that, what the caller had said about choices. I don't like the choices that I have.
Didn't he say, I'd rather vote for a jackass?
Than a liar.
Yeah.
All right. You and I have discussed this in the past. I can't figure out for the life of me why anyone would want to be the president of the United States. I know that it's a coveted position. It's the most important in all the land. I get that. But when you think about it, if you do the pros and cons of being the president, I think you'd find, if you're rational about making that list of what are the good things about being president and the bad things, I think there's a lot more bad things about being the president.
I agree with you.
Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, and you get blasted for things that you honestly really don't have that much control over.
Right. Nonstop. You're criticized at every turn. This is the ugly reality of it. Your life is in danger every single day. You get called out no matter what. Somebody's not happy with your work. It's impossible.
Damn left.
Right.
That's what people
hear that. Instead of people going, come on, Obama.
Right.
They'd say my name all the time, and I don't want that. So
Leffapalooza, they'd right. come up with all these right. names like
Bill Hussein Leff. You hear people say that, and I go, my middle name's Wayne. And they go, which rhymes with Hussein? That would happen constantly.
You've thought a lot about this.
That
I
would happen
tell.
Constantly. Well, here's what I was thinking about this yesterday. Be honest. And I know you will be. If somebody said to you point blank, we have the power, we will make you the president for the next 4 years. You get to be president. We'll pay you the presidential money. You get to live in the White House. There's no more election. You don't have to debate anybody. You're the United States president for the next 4 years. What would you say to them?
No way.
I would say the same thing.
Who wants that position? Too much responsibility.
That's it.
And not enough respect.
Right.
In RES words.
Right. The ones that Aretha Franklin spoke of so eloquently. Uh-huh. No matter what, it's an unwinnable job. It really, really is. You're criticized not just during your reign of presidency, but for generations thereafter. If somebody handed me the presidency and said,
here are the keys to the White House.
This is it. Here's your White House, Bill. You're the new president. Have at it. There's no way in the world I would want that job. And it pays well.
Oh, but you have your own bowling alley.
Oh, I know there is that.
You may have tipped it into
I know
my
there
favor.
Is a bowling alley.
And I bet there's a really good ping pong table there,
there
Bill.
There probably is.
And tennis courts.
No, I know that
Isn't
there's...
there a pool?
I don't
yeah.
know. Is
I
there a
so.
Pool? Yeah.
I believe so. They have a rose garden. Surely there is a, they have a
yeah.
pool.
I like to garden.
I wouldn't want that job. I just wouldn't
Who would?
Want the job.
Who would?
Well,
it takes a special person.
And don't you think that's why we have the candidates we have
yes,
now? Because
yes.
there's nobody who wants that job.
Yeah. Well, I think the people who we have now whittled it down to, I think they all legitimately do want the job. But if you're a rational thinking person and you just sit there and you say to yourself, what are the good parts of me being president? What are the bad parts? The bad parts are going to way outweigh the good parts. I know you can make a I get it. A lot of people do this because they want to make a difference, and some of them even have said, and make our country great again. But the reality is,
how much power do they really have to make a difference, though?
I know.
Seriously.
I know.
Hey, Joe, if we handed the White House keys to you and the garage door opener, would you take it?
Not a chance.
Who would? Why would? Joe, why would anybody? What's in it?
Hillary wants to do it so she can just laud that over her husband's head. You were president?
I'm
now
president
look
too.
Who's president. That's why I would do it.
No, listen, you've asked the right question. This unlocks the key to it all. The fact of the matter is, it's nobody wants the job just because it's such a great job. Nobody wants it for the money because there's a lot of these people, like Rush Limbaugh says, he'd take a pay cut for it.
Right.
I'm sure that's what Donald Trump is taking too.
What is it, like 150,000 or 250, something like that?
It's closer. I don't remember. I'll look it up.
Right.
It's closer to the 250 than the one.
I think it's 400,000 a year.
Is that what it is? All right, that's good money.
I'd take it.
Now
I'd
you
take
would?
The money, not the job.
Oh, now it changes. Okay. Yeah, no, it's not for the money. It's for the power. They're narcissists. You have to be a narcissist to be the president or really to be in politics. You have to love your idea so much that nobody else's idea matters because you're going to be hit from every single side.
Every day.
There's no other way to look at it.
Right.
And that includes Trump, that includes Hillary, that includes Bernie and Cruz. It includes all of them. Every single one of them want the power. They want that ego for themselves.
All right, there is to it. I'm
going to
say something that's going to get a lot of backlash, but I don't think President Barack Obama is a narcissist.
Absolutely he is. You're totally wrong about that. Totally wrong. And you need to leave your position at WGN right now because you said that.
I really don't think he is. I think that's why he's still battling nicotine addiction, because he's getting criticized all the time.
But don't you think just knowing what politics entails, you have to have the narcissist gene in you, because just by virtue of what that job is, politics is a form of narcissism. It just is.
That it's a necessary evil is what it amounts to.
Yeah. Yep.
A narcissist,
really,
even.
We have to have a president, somebody that's going to uphold the Constitution. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not somebody that's cut out for it. Bill, I know you're not.
I'm not.
So we'd be in deep hoo-ha if Bill was president.
Immediately.
So, it's those people that do have that narcissistic tendencies that are going to go for something like that. It basically, it's for the power.
I guess
so.
That's
really what it is. And the only time that they do something good for somebody else is when it affects them, when it's a good thing for them. They're going to get some sort of a kickback it's always just follow the power for them. It's not follow the money. It's follow the power.
Yeah.
And, you do something good for your constituents. Well, trust me, there was a flip side to that. They got something out of it somewhere along the line.
Isn't that why we all do stuff, though, sometimes?
To some extent.
I've heard it that, yes.
To some extent, sure.
Yeah. Well, Joe, thank you. You've shed some light on this, and we will not give you an application for president.
Sorry about that.
No POTUS
Joe, thank
for you.
Thank you. I've read, back when we were studying the presidents, when I was taking classes in high school and then college, every once in a while in the earlier days of guys being president, not anytime lately, it would talk about how that particular president was something of an introvert. I don't think today you could have a president that was an introvert, could you? A president who was just kind of shy and reserved and kept to him or herself. You couldn't have that now.
I don't think so.
Those days are long gone.
Leave that to the comedians.
Right. Let them be the introverts. All right. Your thoughts on this. If somebody said to you, you're the here's the keys to the White House. You're the president for 4 years. Would you take that job? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy discussing this. People are complaining about your choices. Well, I don't like her and I don't like him and I don't like that guy. So who could be the president? I said, if somebody handed you the keys to the White House and said, guess what? You're the president. No questions asked. You got 4 years in the White House. Would you take them up on it?
708 says yes, only to prove my dad wrong and see that I did become something.
Again, though, that falls under the branch of narcissism, doesn't it?
Although somebody's saying, is it narcissism or confidence? Somebody says Obama is not a narcissist, neither is Bernie. Someone else says Obama is one of the biggest narcissists we've ever had in that office, he and his wife both. Everybody has a different take on everything.
Mm-hmm. And that, just by virtue of being president, opens you up to be that, target nonstop.
All right. 312-981-7200. Peggy has a theory, and I think it's genius. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
First of all, I love your show. And, Wendy, I have to tell you, your genuine chuckle when you laugh makes me laugh every time. So I appreciate you guys
That's
a lot.
That's so nice. Thanks.
It's Bill's fault. He makes me laugh all the time.
I tickle Wendy during the show. Can't help myself.
That's true. It is true. So I called because, well, first of all, I wouldn't take the job no matter how much the money, how much it paid. But the main point of my call was John Williams, who we all know and love,
yep,
regularly hosts this Thomas Jefferson scholar named Clay Jenkinson.
Yeah,
well aware of him.
We have gone to see him many times with John. And one of the things that he has said over and over, Clay Jenkinson as TJ, is that anyone who wants the job shouldn't have it. Because it, for all the reasons you cited, Bill, it's a thankless job. You're in danger. You think you have power, but you don't really, and blah, blah, blah. And Thomas Jefferson was a huge introvert. I mean, obviously, times have changed.
Yeah.
But he took the job because he wanted to serve his country. He wanted to stay on his farm at Monticello, but he allowed himself to be drafted into the position to serve his country. So that's why I think all of the candidates we have now and maybe in the recent past, you know, they're in the job because they want it. And I don't know, maybe that's not a bad thing, but I do think that there are several candidates right now who fit the classic definition of narcissism, and one in particular also fits the definition of demagogue, and it's very scary.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank you so much for listening and sharing today, Peggy. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Judy would like to chime in on this. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I was calling in because I just felt like the conversation was getting so super cynical that, and actually piggybacking a little bit on what Peggy said, I don't agree that everyone who should take the job are people who don't want the job, but I do think you're discounting entirely public service and leadership. I mean, I guess you could argue that the opposite side of leadership is narcissism. But if you're the leader and you're in battle or you're in government, you have to believe that you have good ideas that serve the public good. You're not exclusively in it for your own sake. I mean, yes, there are corrupt politicians and there are, you know, demagogues, and I agree that we see a lot of them all the time. But the vast majority, look at people who are in the military. You could argue that they're narcissists, too, if they want to be a general. And they want to have the power to lead. But really, they want to have the power to lead theoretically anyway, trying not to be too naive, because they believe that what they have in mind will benefit the men and women that are serving under them or the country as a whole. And so, yes, I have my doubts, and I certainly am skeptical of some of the candidates. I freely admit that. But I think the whole notion that someone would take the position as president, I mean, you look at Lyndon Johnson, for mm-hmm. example. Yeah, he was a huge narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, despite all that, and I'm originally from Texas, despite all that, he passed all the civil rights legislation. You can't believe that he was popular in his home state or
right.
his home region doing what he did. But he did it for the betterment of the country.
But
and
Judy,
he chose to do that.
Let's say, and everything you said is valid, I'm not going to discount a word that you said, but if you're a rational thinking person, you think about the process of becoming president. There's so much about it. I'll use campaign funding as one thing. If you were a rational thinking person and you thought about all the money that was going in on a state by state basis to make you the president, and you say to yourself, or that money could be spent solving some of the problems that I'm speaking out against, it doesn't make sense, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are spent for that particular job, when that money could do so much better in
but
so many other ways.
But they're not thinking money. It takes a special person that wants to lead the country. I am a born follower. I'll admit it right now. I am not a born leader. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Some people like to do that.
Even with regard to the money, the issue that you just raised, I mean, if you listen to Bernie, he wants to become president to do finance reform.
Right, I know, yeah, I know.
Finance reform. So the argument even falls there because, theoretically, your goal is to undo a system that has gotten out of control that, I mean, obviously the Supreme Court decision declaring that corporations are the same as individuals has, you know, hit a body blow to the whole campaign finance area. So, yeah, there are things that are terrible that have gotten in the way of what should be the right way to do this. But if you're a leader who believes that they've gotten in the way of doing the right thing, you want to get out there and get your ideas in front of the rest of the country to say, let's fix this, let's change this. Things do change, although slowly. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at segregation. If you had told people back in the 40s that this is the way things were going to evolve, people would have laughed in your
face. Of course.
You're right.
Right.
Judy, we got to run, but thank you for throwing out some really good points here.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I'm a born follower.
And yet, who was the student council president in your school?
Yeah, but I did. That was just a popularity contest. I didn't really do anything.
And big business was on your side. Right. I know that. All right, we have to take a break. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in on this. Greatly appreciated. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Tim, thanks. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. We would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. Call whenever you have a question or a comment. Call or text that number. Kim, there was a story in the news that piqued my interest and Wendy's interest. We wanted to go over it with you just a little bit. And that's the guy with the cell phone jammer. What was that story exactly?
Basically, he wanted to create his own quiet car on the CTA. So he brought the cell phone jammer. And I don't exactly know what it looks like, but I'm assuming it's some kind of, looks like a box or a radio or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could make it his own personal quiet car. So he got caught and he was in court today. And if he, he has to take part in this diversion program, and if he completes it, then the charges will be dismissed. But this guy is a CPA. He works as a financial analyst at a hospital.
Well,
so, you know, he just wanted some peace and quiet,
well,
I guess, on his way
do.
To work.
Right.
I'm
mean,
on
you,
his side, by the way.
And aren't there quiet cars?
There
I know
are
on
quiet
Metro,
cars.
There's quiet cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not on, I don't think, on every train. And I'm trying to remember if it, during rush hour, if they suspend that and don't. I can't remember the exact rules. A year or so ago, I was riding the train back and forth. And I didn't even know such a thing as a quiet car existed, but I'm on one of the cars one day. I'm like, wow, everybody is so well behaved on here.
It's the library car.
It was the
library
car.
You can
check
out a book too.
Yeah.
But if you're taking public transportation, it's just that public. You can't do that.
Except,
I know you agree with them, but then don't take the train.
If you've ever been, I can't tell you how many of those rides back and forth I'd be sitting next to somebody. And it's luck of the draw. You never know who you're going to get to sit next to. And then all of a sudden,
I don't look so bad as your seatmate,
oh,
do I?
Not even a little bit. I mean, I had sat next to people who just the entire ride are speaking as loudly as they possibly could on a cell phone. And I used to say to myself, I'm trying to remember what magazine I was reading, because I think these cell phone jammers, I think, are illegal in the United States, but you could easily get them in other countries. They're not that expensive. They're like $150 to get one. They look like a cell phone. So what you do is you just hit a series of buttons, and anyone within a, I don't know, 20.
It wrecks the network connections.
Yeah, they can't get a call in or out.
Yeah, but that you can't do that. What if somebody's having a heart attack and they're going to dial 911?
That would
and
be a
you've
problem.
Jammed there.
That would
if
be
for,
bad.
Does it also jam like police signals and stuff? What
I
if you're
think
a police
officer?
That's a different thing.
I don't think it does.
Because for a while you could get those contraptions that would, you know how when an ambulance is coming, they can change the street light.
Right.
There was a thing you could get to do that. It's like you can't do that, people. There are rules for a reason.
What I was thinking, if I was going to purchase one, and I didn't, but I sure
didn't
looked
know
at,
how.
I looked at the ad going, that's what I want for Christmas is a cell phone jammer. I kept thinking about the times I've been in movies and somebody sitting near me is on a cell phone throughout the entire movie. I've thought about health clubs where I'm running on a track and the guy on the next track is making business transactions while I'm running. I'm trying to watch TV, but he's talking on his cell phone the whole time.
You want to jam it down their throat, don't you?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That would be more acceptable.
Yes.
Because you can't make something public but your own.
But when you think about it, they're the ones, the people who are speaking loudly on their phones, they're the ones that are really interrupting people around them.
Because there's going to be jerks everywhere you go in life.
But this, the jammer, evens the playing field a
little bit.
Except
it's illegal.
That's the rub, is that thing about it being illegal.
Well, and have a little patience. You're not on the
train
for that long.
No patience.
I mean, really, the ride is not that long. It's not like you're in a car with somebody for 5 hours.
No, I know. I know. But
if you sat next to somebody on a Greyhound bus going across the country, I could see you like punching them in the head.
Right, at some point.
Didn't you put headphones on?
He's
going to go, why should I have to do something because they're loud?
That's kind of what I did, but... you know, I used to read. I would bring a book with me, and I'd be reading. And then instead of being able to focus on my Dr. Seuss book, I got somebody next to me, you know, just with the most inane conversation you've ever heard. And it just doesn't stop. It goes on and on and on.
And you know what surprises me is I was just sitting out there during our lunch break, and I could spend the next 3 years just watching people. Yeah. I love watching people. I know everybody enjoys doing that.
Right.
But you get people that are on the phone that are talking about like some pretty serious or private matters.
Yeah.
And most people who are concentrating on a phone call don't realize how loud they're talking, how loudly they're speaking. So they're revealing some pretty personal information. Don't they care about that?
That's surprising, isn't it?
But don't you sometimes find that makes your ride a little more interesting?
I do, although it makes me uncomfortable. I do not like anybody to be having a situation with anybody. And I know that sometimes when my kids were little, sometimes I'd be on the phone like, what do you want? No, I am not stopping at McDonald's on the way home. And then I look up and I see that
people are watching conversation.
Love you, honey.
The most frustrating thing is you're only hearing half of the conversation,
yes.
And I've got a fairly decent imagination, but I always want to, at the end of the phone call, I always want to go up and go, well, then what did Jeff do? Is everything going to be okay with Jeff?
They probably tell you. People that speak so loudly in public like that would be willing
would share
to tell
it with
you.
Me. Yeah.
I'd tell anybody who asked me anything. How's everything going? Oh, I didn't get McDonald's on the way home.
There's a guy, I see him at my health club, always once a week, sometimes twice or even three times a week, who's got a headset. He's got that, like that aviator's headset. So no matter what he's doing, he's in contact with somebody. Like there's never a time
he's
just...
So there's a microphone on one side.
Yeah,
and
he's listening. He's got an earpiece. And sometimes he's conducting
business.
What is he,
Judy, the Time Life operator?
I don't know. But anyone anywhere near him is treated to... his life. Like,
is
even,
it exciting?
No. I always want to say to him, I wish so badly something exciting would happen to you so we could all have a day of amazement. But everyone around him, we're all looking at each other like, who cares about this guy's life? I just want to lift weights and go home. I don't want to hear about his stories.
I hate that there are cell phones everywhere now.
Haven't there been situations where you go, if I only had one? No.
It's not fair. It's not right. It's not legal.
I guess if you're going to be logical.
I don't. A lot of reasons, Bill, I don't go to the movie theater is for that reason, too.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit in my own house on my couch in my underwear if I want and watch the movie.
They will let you do that at your theater?
They used to.
The Late Show
will
let you
do that. But then I got kicked out. Hi, Fred. You have some comments on these public conversations?
Yes. I had a guy sit down next to me on the Metro train. Talking to somebody, and I started making comments to him about who he was talking to. Like, is that your wife?
Was he telling you?
No. After a minute, he kept giving me dirty looks, and after about a minute, he got up and moved to another car.
See, that's the best way to combat this. If you're sitting by a guy who's being loud and talking, when he's done with his part of the conversation, like, Wendy, pretend you're talking to somebody and you're on the phone with that person, and I'm sitting by you. Just talk to that person. Here's
what
I'll do.
So you didn't get the garbage out
in
time?
No, I didn't get the garbage out in time. No.
You're serious? So did they pick it up?
No, they didn't come by.
What are you doing?
Who, me?
Yes.
Just talking the way you're talking.
See, two rights don't make a wrong,
though.
I mean, two wrongs don't make a right.
But if that person's going to be rude and obnoxious, doesn't that open it up?
That's not their intention to be rude and obnoxious.
I guess.
Their intention is to find out why the garbage wasn't put out in time.
The other answer is to sit in the second car from the front or the back, and that's the quiet car on Metro during rush hour.
Oh, it is.
So it is during rush hour.
right.
And they, although it's sort of self-policed, people will say something to someone if they're on the phone.
A friend of mine got kicked off because he didn't realize it was the quiet car, and he started talking to a guy, and they I almost said the wine steward. The wine steward kicked him off the train.
What line do you take? I want to ride it.
The Ernest and Julio Gallo train.
All right. Well, thank you so much, right. Fred.
True thing, guys.
Thanks, Fred.
Right, you know you're going to use Fred's advice now.
Yeah, that's solid advice.
There are going to be people out there that are jerks.
If the price of that jammer, they were $150. This was a couple years ago.
I can get you one right now, $64.95.
I was just going to say, I bet the price has come way down, except there's that little business about them being illegal, I guess, that's bad.
Oh, that's not a good one. This is a portable $299.
What does that one do?
It's a cell scrambler voice silencer.
Does it give an electric shock to anybody who's talking loudly on their cell phone?
You're going to be in jail.
I want that option.
It's a cell scrambler U1000 voice silencer. It's designed to help prevent wiretapping by making your voice inaudible to anyone listening in. So if you put that on, the people that these people are talking to aren't going to hear them.
Right. And that's a miracle. I consider that to be a miracle. I'm with the guy. I know that guy got in a lot of trouble on the train there. Train or bus? What did you say, Kim? I can't remember.
He was on a train.
I know he got in some trouble, but I'm on that guy's side.
All right, there's a guy in Florida who did this as well.
What happened to him?
He drove around, he bought a cell phone jammer. He brought it on his commute every day for 2 years to ensure that his fellow commuters remained focused on the road because he was sick of seeing people driving and talking.
Yeah.
Until two local sheriff deputies caught him in the act and slapped him with a $48,000 worth of fines. So several fines.
$48,000?
Which he must pay or otherwise respond to within a month.
Oh, that's not good.
He would have gone undetected if it hadn't been for a local carrier noticing that something was messing with its towers.
No.
Metro PCS, which is owned by T-Mobile, notified the FCC that there was a peculiar outage on a certain patch of the Interstate 4 highway in downtown Tampa. Exactly a year ago, the FCC looked into it and discovered that wideband emissions, broadcast activity with wide frequencies or wavelengths, were emanating from a blue Toyota Highlander.
They pinpointed it to that?
He kept on jamming for another year until two county sheriff deputies pulled him over. They were able to confirm his use of the cell phone jammer before they even searched his vehicle and found it behind a seat cover. As they approached his SUV, their two-way radios were disconnected from their dispatcher.
I don't want it to affect police signals.
But it will.
I don't want that. You or can't. Microwave ovens.
Yeah,
I want people to be able to heat their lunch up.
They got
to
eat their lean cuisines.
Right. If you want a Hot Pocket, I'm not going to get in the way of that.
All right. And was this guy just doing it for fun? You know.
No, he wanted people to focus on the road. He wanted other drivers to focus on the road. So
everybody has a good reason, I guess, behind it. It just doesn't work.
But you can't interfere with other people's lives like that.
No, you cannot.
But that's why they call it public transportation.
Yes, there is no but.
But those people are interfering with the rest of our lives by talking so loudly.
Then don't take the train. Then don't drive on the... Too bad. There's going to be a jerk everywhere.
You know how, and I know I've told you this, a day has not happened in the last 2 years when I'm driving down Lakeshore Drive on my way here that somebody's not texting and while driving. So they're on a busy highway. Like today, it was raining like crazy when I drove in, and four different people are either going really slow or swerving between lanes because they're texting while they're driving on Lakeshore Drive.
And you wanted to report them, but you didn't want to make a phone call while driving.
Right. Exactly.
Call the police. I take Lower Wacker out of the city every night, and there's always a backup for some reason.
Yeah.
It's construction that's been there for 18 years. And the traffic is going so slowly that you move up an inch and then stop. Move up an inch and then stop. And I'm driving behind some guy, and I hear this big crash, and the guy rear-ended the car, two cars in front of me.
Yeah.
And I just kind of pulled over to the left lane, went around it, and left. He was on his phone. He was on his phone creeping forward. At that point, keep your foot on the brake.
Or
don't use it. But I know, and you know, I'm guilty of it. There are some times that I answer a text, and I hit the microphone, and I talk.
Yeah.
That is
but
less...
But even that split... It's better, but even that split second,
but
you could kill somebody.
You could kill someone when you're changing, turning the radio on.
Yeah.
Or right. grabbing for the hot pocket that you right. just dropped.
The newly hot hot pocket. All right, your thoughts on this. 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we were, a story in the news. That's how it came up. A guy was getting sick of people yapping on the train, so he got a cell phone jammer and shut down everybody else's phones.
Right, right.
It's not a good thing to do, and it's illegal. So he's in trouble now.
He's in some trouble.
Ronnie, you have a friend who does something like this?
My brother. Yeah, my brother has two, they're now teenage daughters, and he got them cell phones years ago, and he got one of those devices through his work, and he turns it on at night when they all go to bed to make sure that boys aren't calling them and they're not calling out. And the funny thing about it is his next-door neighbor has switched cell services three times because they complain their phone.
How is that funny?
That's not funny.
You guys are laughing.
I can't imagine anyone finding that amusing.
Just because your brother's daughters can't be, you know, and don't they complain?
Well, he's so committed to his good parenting technique, he doesn't want to reveal the secret.
So his daughters have no idea that it's their dad, your brother, who's jamming their phone calls?
Not a clue.
How could they not know? How come all of a sudden at 10 o'clock our phones don't work, Dad?
You say to them, well, it's the way the satellite is. It just doesn't reach us real well at night.
Do you really think...
Exactly. Exactly. The standing story is cell towers operate differently during the day.
Yeah.
They it's more power to them during the day. We live in a bad area, which actually he lives in a suburb, a very high populated suburb where there's absolutely no problem. And their friends are like, we have no problem at all. And they live like a block away. And one last little tidbit is one girl lent the eldest daughter her cell phone because her phone works so good. And her phone wouldn't work either. And so when the father of that daughter came over and was just joking, was talking one day, and he revealed it, so he got one for his house, too.
I love that.
That's totally dishonest, you guys. Well, you're lying to your kids.
But for their own good.
Is it for their own good to show that it's okay to lie?
He's got some good-looking daughters.
Right.
I have sons, so I wasn't that worried about it, but you know.
All right, Ronnie. I'm worried about you if you think your brother has good-looking daughters. All right.
Tell your brother I'm a huge fan of his.
People call him. I know how many are trying to date him. So.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Nice talking to you.
Take care. Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Meanie. You guys can't do this. You can't. I know it's irritating when people talk very loudly next to you. Chris, you don't like that when that happens, do you?
I hate that. And what's even worse is when Bill was talking about going to the gym and the guy was sitting on his cell phone, I went to my club and I watched a young lady for 10 minutes with her phone in one ear and a weight in the other, and she was doing an overhead press for 10 minutes with one side. Didn't change over. I mean, mm-hmm. she's huge on one side, but you know that phone was just ridiculous.
Well, don't they say you're not supposed to be able to talk while you're working out? Because, you know, if I'd get a call on the elliptical, you'd be like, I got to call you back.
If you come to my club, I'll show you half the people there. That's part of their regime now. It's not just lifting weights. It's not just running. It's not doing steps. They're on the phone for as much time as they're actually working out. Sometimes you're waiting for a machine for 15 or 20 minutes because somebody's on their phone while they're going back and forth on the machine.
What's wrong with this
country? What's so important that somebody has to be on a phone while they're working?
Right.
Well, they're trying to kill time. Some people like to watch TV. Some people like to listen to music. Is it okay that I am on the phone when I'm walking the dog?
Yeah.
I guess.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you're talking on the phone while you're walking the dog, if you're not concentrating on what's going on around you, that could be a dangerous situation as well.
Well, I have to pay attention because I have the phone in one hand and usually a vodka and tonic in a to-go cup in the other hand. And then the bad thing is when I have to use the dog bag to pick things up, I have to put the drink on the sidewalk and sometimes the dog knocks it over.
See, that's not good. That's
the hazards of a cell phone.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
And even your dog is like, God, I don't think Wendy loves me.
Mom. You do the same thing. Jim says, look, Tiki, Wendy's home. I'm like, I'm mom to him. I'm not Wendy. He doesn't know me as Wendy.
That makes it even worse because the dog's just going, oh, mom doesn't love me. She's on the phone all the time. We don't get any time together.
Just like my kids learned, Mom loves me and her drink.
Yeah.
I've earned it.
At the same time, yeah. All right, a break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know who's a genius, Wendy, is Rich Lankoff. You know Rich Lankoff?
I know he is a nice guy, and maybe he's very smart, but the two of you
are
wrong.
An absolute genius is Rich Lankoff. He is our legal expert, and we've brought you in, Rich, to talk about several things going on in the world of legalness. But we were just talking about there's this guy who's he's getting into some trouble because on the train he bought he had a cell phone jammer.
The Red Line jammer. I know him well. Not
you know
personally, but
bit?
Know the story well, for
right.
sure.
I'm on his side. I think that that's fine. I know it's illegal. I know you can get into a lot of trouble, but I get it. This guy is fed up with being on a train where everybody's talking on their phone. He figured out a way around it. What do you think about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, love the Red Line jammer. Listen, for every time you've heard some idiot discuss, you know, his personal story way too loud
yep.
on the L, which I have, you know, thousands of times. We all applaud the Red Line jammer, but legally, of course, there's issues.
But why should people who are adhering to the rules be banned from using their cell phone? Maybe somebody's talking very quietly because there's an emergency going on with the babysitter.
Yeah, this guy is like the Charles Bronson of
He's the death wish of cell phone jammers.
So, yeah, we can't let these people take the law into their own hands, unfortunately, while
right.
we'd like to jam these conversations. He did commit at
Just
least
jam
a misdemeanor.
Just jam your tunes. Don't right. jam their phones.
Yeah, I think we would
That's
have anarchy
slogan.
If everyone had these jammers. But he did have something. There was something to it, for
I
sure.
don't think everyone should have them, Reg. I just think I should have
just,
them.
Just you and this guy.
And that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Stop it. Somebody just texted and says... Why? What if somebody has given up their landline? Because you and I are the only ones who haven't.
Right.
It's stupid. We
right.
should.
Right.
But so you got somebody jamming that guy who called and said that he jams the cell phones of his daughters.
Yes. I know.
What
you
if
didn't,
they
you
only
didn't hear that.
Have
heard, yeah,
a landline? They don't have a landline anymore, and there's some emergency, and your neighbor couldn't call to get the fire department.
It would be off. I don't want if there's an emergency, if somebody has a heart attack or something.
Well, that could happen.
Cell phone away. But
you have not
been on enough public transport places where
no,
you hear these.
No, because I don't want to deal with other people. I want to drive by myself.
It's nuts. All right. Rich, we're here to talk about several important things. Where do you want to start? Which one are you comfortable with starting on?
I mean, the walkout tomorrow. The
April
Fool's Day, for sure. A lot of stuff going on. But the labor action by the Chicago Teachers Union is obviously prominently in the news. The Teachers Union have planned to walk out of schools tomorrow and hold some other demonstrations. So on the show tomorrow on Legal Face-Off, we're going to be covering that from a legal angle, as we always try to do, and talk about whether their actions are lawful or whether they are, in fact, breaking the law, as the CEO, Forrest Claypool, has alleged.
Because what do the kids do? They have to find other arrangements. It's not like they can go to school.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, by not teaching, the students will not have classroom education. Of course, CPS has arranged for, I think, 260 or so alternate sites, including some park districts. But
isn't that costing extra money to get that taken care of?
Yeah, no question. I mean, not sure where that money's coming from to pay for that, but you know, it raises some interesting questions. I mean, Carol Marine, I think this week did a great job on Chicago Tonight. I was watching. She had Forrest Claypool on, and she asked him, like, very simply, if this is an illegal strike, why is CPS not doing anything about it? Last time they struck, a couple of years ago, CPS went into court and asked a judge to restrain them from doing so. They didn't do that this time. Why? And Claypool really didn't have a great answer, in my opinion. If this is an illegal strike, which, again, they're alleging pretty forcefully, why not do something to stop it? Claypool has said it's too late. You know, it's already sort of a fait accompli, and they're going to take it up Monday. But the question, really, that we're going to cover tomorrow is whether it is illegal, whether their actions tomorrow violate the law.
Well, is there something in writing in a personal contract or in a bargaining agreement with the union that says striking not allowed under any circumstances? Is it spelled out that succinctly?
Yeah,
ever?
Good yeah. question. I mean, it's really governed by two alternate statutes. There's a federal statute that the union is arguing governs in this case. It's the National Labor Relations Act. The CPS, on the other hand, is saying that the federal statute doesn't apply at all, that the Supreme Court case from 1956 that, you know, is kind of boring to go into, doesn't apply, that instead the state statute called the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Act governs. And basically, to sum it up, CPS is saying that the only way the teachers can strike is if they have exhausted this waiting period, this cooling off period after the 60-day negotiation period. That doesn't happen for another 45 days or so. So according to the plain language of the state act, the teachers are acting illegally if they strike tomorrow. The union, on the other hand, is arguing that because CPS did certain things, like cut their pension contributions, that they acted first and they violated this federal labor act. And in doing so, they made this a fight about labor relations and not about the strike. Mm-hmm. And therefore, tomorrow's walkout is not illegal. So we have two competing arguments.
And what is this going to prove? I know Governor Bruce Rauner has not bailed out the Chicago Public Schools. I know this is a strike over pay and pension issues, but their one-day strike, what is that going to do? Is all of a sudden Rauner going to go, okay, the budget's been passed?
Agree. I don't know that Springfield or Rauner or, you know, people outside of Chicago will look at this one-day walkout and care very much, to be honest. I think if you're downstate, if you're in the rest of Illinois, you think this is just, you know, politics as usual in Chicago. You probably look at some prior issues with CPS, like Barbara Bird Bennett, and think this is more of the same. So I don't know that tomorrow's action will be persuasive to anyone down in Springfield or the governor.
And so it's just one day, right?
It is one day.
One day, but it's a precursor to what inevitably will be a longer strike. Remember back a couple of years ago when the last contract expired, the teachers were on strike for a full week.
Yeah.
So they
why not take that tactic? If that's the more effective tactic strategically, why would you go with the one-day strike? Because anyone you're opposing will just go, well, it's one day. We'll rough it for a day.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I think, frankly, my personal opinion, not from a legal analyst perspective, but personally, I think the union is making a mistake. I don't think that they have the public sentiment behind them on this particular issue. I think lots of parents, like myself, I'm a parent to two CPS students, support our teachers. And we have, you know, I think my school, Agassiz, has the best teachers anywhere. But I think that a lot of parents think that the negotiations should be at a negotiating table, should be in the boardroom. They should be devoting
Keep
this energy.
Keep the kids out of it.
Right. I don't think that the walkout tomorrow has anything to do with the issues. So I think, as do I think a lot of parents, that this should be negotiated not by striking or walking out or by blocking traffic on Michigan Avenue, but by the parties negotiating.
And somebody has texted in, non-union administrators are still going to work on Friday. Many of them will work these alternate sites.
Correct. I know our principal, who we met with this morning, is going to be working. Lots of CPS staff, administrative staff, will be working at these stations to help secure, you know, a good day for the kids.
Poor kids, man. They're the ones suffering.
They're in the middle of this. Rich Lankoff is here. We're talking about some legal things. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Rich Lankoff is here. Legal Face-Off is the name of your pod. When does that drop? I like to be so hip with this
terminology. Dropping it tomorrow, April 1st, latest pod for Legal Face-Off.
WGNplus.com, a lot of great podcasts on that very site.
And Rich, you say you host the show alone, but Wendy and I did some research, and you have a co-host. You were lying to us.
You know, there's this guy who shows up once in a while between trips to Vegas and other nefarious activities that we think is a co-host. His name is Jason Whiteside, but we're not quite sure.
All right.
Jury's out.
All right.
All right, what do you know? Do you know anything? I hate to put you on the spot, but there's also a strike that could be happening at O'Hare Airport.
Saw that today, yeah. I think they're, you know, maybe jealous is the word. A couple of them were talking about today when I saw them on the news that they're not getting the attention that the teachers are getting. But, yeah, similar arguments, you know, not getting the funds that they
think. Why isn't everyone in the whole city of Chicago going on strike with no budget? Why aren't we getting, well, not me, but why isn't Rauner getting penalized? How could this go on for this long?
We've got, you know, I mean, Chicago State has been in the news. You know, they're talking about shutting their doors. Listen, it's a mess. The fact is there's no money, right? I mean, they're not.
Well, they better get some.
Yeah,
Rauner better get a side job or something.
Yeah, maybe.
How can there not be any money where things are going
to
close down?
Right,
I don't understand this.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see educational institutions, schools being shut down, but they rely on, you know, a lot of state money, and it's no surprise. I mean, Rauner was brought into office, he at least talked about these issues. Maybe a lot of people weren't listening. There's just not money to go around to fund a lot of these things. It's a huge mess.
So with these airport workers, these are baggage handlers. It's sanitation crews. It's everybody
Correct.
You see around the airport doing all kinds of different jobs.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And their issue is what now exactly?
Well, I think they're arguing. I mean, you know, it's a monetary issue. They're arguing that they should, you know, their contract should provide them with some additional funds that they're not getting.
And they said better training too. Correct? I read better.
I think
training.
I heard that. Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, what the lack of training that they're
inadequate safety
is.
Training. And the workers went on strike today, 24-hour strike, part of a national action to protest their low wages, inadequate safety training, and retaliation for organizing. Nearly 100 baggage handlers, custodians, cabin cleaners, security officers, and wheelchair attendants walked off the job at O'Hare, joining their peers at 8 other airports across the country. It's a 24-hour strike, and there is no service disruptions reported at this point. I wonder if that will change, because this is a lot of spring breakers are already out somewhere. Mm-hmm. We had our spring break last week, the last couple of weeks, but people are on vacation now. They're going to come home to less workers, although they wouldn't be coming home today, I guess.
Hey, yeah. Wendy, can I just jump in for
yes,
just a second here? We're getting word of an active shooter situation at a Greyhound bus station near Richmond, Virginia. Apparently, 4 people went to the hospital. That's really all we know right now, but I just kind of wanted to give you guys this breaking news.
Thank you, Kim.
We appreciate that. Cell phone jammers.
It could have been. We don't know. And the other strike, this seems to be strike season, right? So we've got the school strike, we've got the airport strike, and then fast food workers are also going on strike. Are you aware of this strike?
To ask for a higher
they
minimum wage.
They want a $15 an hour yeah.
Which is what California's
wage.
California,
doing.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's been a movement for a while.
Yeah.
They continue to ask for that. Obviously, a lot of folks in the business community are opposing that for various reasons. But yeah, that's an active movement right now, trying to increase the minimum wage for fast food workers.
This is my question, and it's not meant to criticize or to be harmful in any way, shape, or form. But if you don't make enough money at a particular job that you're getting paid for, don't we go get another job that might pay more? I mean, that's how we all grew up.
You would think. I think people are looking at this. I mean, for many of us, luckily, if you're working in the fast food industry, it's a temporary job. You're not hoping for it to be your career. But sadly, there are people
yes.
who that's their career.
Right now, yes.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, listen, it would be good if you're not earning enough in a minimum wage job to simply go out and get another job. The reality is, of course, that a lot of these folks don't have the skill set, the background, the education to get any other job. So the argument in favor of a higher minimum wage is just that at the bare minimum, there should be a wage that allows these people to live. Again, the counter to that is that these businesses, a lot of them can't afford that. A lot of them can't afford to increase the minimum wage without doing something else, like increasing prices for consumers. So
when I just got into radio, I just worked a couple of shifts on the weekend, and it didn't pay the bills, and I wanted to move out. And so I worked at Brookfield Zoo. I worked in the kitchen at Loyola Hospital, in addition to being on the air at The Loop. I mean, our parents sometimes had to have 2 jobs to keep things afloat. So I don't understand this.
Agree. I mean, I worked minimum wage jobs in my life when I started out. I didn't, engage in strikes. That
I'm
wasn't
too
really...
much of a chicken, too. I would never do it because, you could lose your job and you mm-hmm. need it.
Right. I mean, that's, the big difference, I think, that a lot of people see in the private versus public sector with regards to the teachers' strike. If, in the private sector, if you were unhappy with your wages or lack of pension matching, most people in the private sector don't have the ability to strike. Most mm-hmm. people would just be fired if they weren't happy with their condition. That's
sure.
obviously different when you have a labor situation.
And as Bill said, somebody texted and said, the jobs that pay more are rare and temporary, and that is the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, without a doubt. Rich, thank you for all of this. We didn't get, I know we don't have time to discuss this, but I was just curious. I know what a big hockey fan you are. The Duncan Keith situation, are these things always governed by professional sports, or does a situation like that ever exceed that and go to a regular court?
Sometimes, yeah. Good question. We've seen occasions in the past where an athlete, it has happened in hockey, has been criminally charged for an action like this.
Yeah.
Duncan Keith, you know, swung a stick and hit one of the Minnesota Wild
Charlie
players.
Charlie Coyle.
Yeah, that
Charlie
has happened
Coyle
in the past.
It. They have to look at that, though, don't they?
For sure.
I know he shouldn't use the stick as a weapon, but had Coyle not ripped his feet out from underneath him, Duncan Keith wouldn't have swung the stick.
And that's, you know, Wendy, what you're saying is exactly the reason why most of these cases don't go to criminal court, because a hockey game is not like real life. And in real life, if you swing a piece of wood at someone, you're going to get arrested.
Right.
In hockey, there are other factors like who instigated it. And, you know, hockey's just different. The rules are different. So
look,
that's the reason why.
Look at a boxing match or a wrestling sure. match. That whole thing would exactly. be illegal if it was just you and I on the street hitting each other.
Exactly.
But you put us in trunks in a ring and everything's fine.
It's a
I'd like to
high...
put you guys in trunks in a ring.
Maybe for your birthday,
next
Wendy.
Time.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
Rich, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's Rich Lankoff, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I would like that $20 bill back that
nope,
I gave you.
No, you gave it to me. It's mine.
You're acting like you're, you know, doing some investigative work and you said, I don't have a 20 on me. Doesn't
right.
your wife give you 20 bucks every day?
Yeah, but then I bought lunch, so I don't have the 20 anymore. I've got 11 now. Hi, Panda Express.
You are so cute.
I had 20. I didn't parlay it into a fortune.
Well, I had the cash station, so I'm rich. I have 20. I have $40.
Look at you.
I never have cash.
Living like a king.
All right.
Here's the story. In July, President Obama discussed the idea, and we actually talked about this. I don't know if you remember, but we talked about this for a day. How could this be that on American currency, on your standard dollar bills, your 1, your 5, your 10, and your 20, and your 50, and your 100, there's no women. That doesn't seem right. Women have played an important role in this country. There should be a woman on a bill.
Well, the chicks get the coins. You got Sacagawea and Susan B. Anthony.
Right. That's not enough, though. You deserve to be on a bill of some sort. Put a woman on a bill. That's what I've been saying for a long time, Wendy.
No wonder.
A nationwide campaign to replace Andrew Jackson with a woman on a $20 bill. That was hatched months ago. But now they're saying... Now, this is weird. The Treasury Department said on Wednesday, this was in a conference call, that starting in the year 2020, that's the 100th anniversary of women's right to vote, there will be a woman on a bill, but it's not going to be a $20 bill. It's going to be a $10 bill.
Which is okay, because I think, what is the most circulated bill? Probably a single.
Yeah, I would imagine a single is.
I don't like fives.
George Washington's safe. You have said that in the past, that you're not a fan of the $5 bill.
I don't like dimes
either. You say they get in the way.
Yeah, I know.
Well, dimes you said get in the way.
Yeah, dimes bother me, but I don't like fives either. Your money is so wallet-shaped.
Yeah, I keep it in a wallet. That's where I keep all my money.
It's so curved.
All right, so one of these gentlemen is losing their place on a bill. It's not going to be Andrew Jackson on the 20, as everybody surmised. Everybody said, yeah, Andrew Jackson's done on the... It's going to be Alexander Hamilton on the 10. He will be replaced by a woman, but they still have not announced who that woman will be.
I bet it's Eleanor Roosevelt.
Do you think Eleanor Roosevelt?
Mm-hmm.
Because why? How come?
I read it somewhere.
Oh.
Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks is very deserving. So is Eleanor Roosevelt. They're both good.
See, we need more money. Why don't they do, like, you know how Sports Illustrated has three different covers?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that with the $10 bill?
I like that. So it would be Rosa Parks. It would be
Eleanor
Roosevelt.
And Harriet Tubman.
Oh, Harriet Tubman. I was going to say Oprah would be good. I would like an Oprah buck. Would you like to change in Oprah bucks? Yeah.
She
hey.
Probably has Oprah bucks made.
Right.
Just, you know, for fun and around her estate.
If you ever see Gayle King at Target, that's what she uses. Where'd you get that currency? That looks like Oprah on there. It is. I want some of those. So those would be, I think those are your front runners. Now, people have also suggested Martha Washington, but she's on a, it says here she is already on a $1 silver certificate, but I've never seen
what
a silver certificate.
Is that?
That's not the same.
Did you give me my 20 back?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you
yes,
did.
I did. I did. This is the only
You're
20
You're doing
I
a
have.
Magic trick. It's
I'm
that,
not.
That's why you pulled out the 10.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that to you. But is there, I'm trying to think if there's any other prominent women that, I mean, there are plenty of women that have played a role in the formation of America, but I think the ones we mentioned
what
are certainly.
What about Betsy Ross?
Yeah, I could see that. Betsy Ross could be up there. Is anyone texting in Mother Teresa? Because that's not going to count.
No.
She's done a lot of good things, but...
She shouldn't be on the money.
She shouldn't be on the money. She doesn't want money. She never wanted money. Money tainted her. Would have tainted her.
She took a vow of...
Of celibacy.
That's the wrong one. She did that, too.
You can't
poverty.
Have,
that's
she
the
took
one.
A vow of poverty.
I could not think of the word poverty.
No, because they wouldn't put you on a bill if you took a vow of celibacy. That's crazy. How about the girls from Two Broke Girls, just as a way of being ironic? Look, there's Two Broke Girls, but they're on money.
How does that show continue?
I don't know.
I watched a marathon once, and I have to admit I was entertained briefly.
By Two Broke Girls?
Yeah,
that's
but...
It's been on since I was 9 years old, and I've never seen it. I don't know how it maintains itself.
I don't know how it's been on so long.
Now, it's up to a man named Jacob Lew.
Hi, Lew.
Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew, he will make the final determination. He said he will announce which woman will replace Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill later this year. In addition to its new face, the new $10 bill will smell a lot prettier. Will include what the Treasury called a tactile feature that increases accessibility for the visually impaired.
Noting like that, Braille on it? That's cool.
It doesn't say, it's got to be, right? How else would they do it? It's got to be some sort of Braille.
That is a great idea. I know, and because a lot of people ask why there's Braille on the ATMs, but if you're in a cab or a passenger in the car, that's why.
Yeah, yeah. America's currency is a way for our nation to make a statement about who we are and what we stand for. This, again, according to Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew. Our paper bills and the images of great American leaders and symbols that they depict have long been a way for us to honor our past and express our values. Last month, voters in an online poll picked abolitionist Harriet Tubman to replace Andrew Jackson on the face of the $20 bill. The last woman to appear on American currency, I mentioned this earlier, Martha Washington, who was on a $1 silver certificate.
What does that even mean?
I've never seen one. I don't think that's impressive. I couldn't tell you who's on any certificates of silver.
What did Alexander Hamilton do?
Alexander Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
He was a great man.
He did a lot. Was he a president?
He did. No. He had no time for that. He was busy doing great things.
Why do they say dead presidents then?
Oh, that's true.
Because this was the first U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, and he's featured on the current $10 bill.
Alexander Hamilton was?
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
He started the money. Show me the money. He said he was the first person to do it.
Show me the money and put me on the money. But boss, you can't be on the money. Just put me on the 10. No one's going to notice. Throw me on a 10.
What's on the back of the $10 bill, of the current $10 bill? You know what that building is?
Yeah, the U.S. Treasury building, right?
You're really smart.
It is.
Because I wouldn't have known that. It is. The angle from which the building is shown has changed over the years, but that's what was on there.
It's got the big pillars.
Yep. Hamilton, one of the two non-presidents to be featured on current U.S. currency. Who's the other one?
Who's the other one? All right. So it's a non-president and a non-currency.
Nice stall tactic.
Is it? I think Benjamin Franklin used
Very
to be on.
Very good.
He was on a $2 bill for a while.
$100 bill.
$100?
Yeah.
I've never had one.
I haven't either.
I've never had
one. I really haven't either.
But weren't there, remember for a little while there was a $2 bill. Wasn't he also on that? I think he was. I thought he was.
No, I have a $2 bill at home. I got it as change once, and the kids won't give it up. They think it's cool to hold on to. It's like a relic.
Yeah. That didn't take off.
It sure didn't.
That did not work. You always felt weird when you had one. Like a Canadian penny where you try to get rid of it and people go, I'm not taking this penny. It's got Wayne Gretzky on it. That's not real money.
I know you would try and get rid of it. Like you'd go to the candy store just to get rid of it.
You'd slip it in with a bunch of other change, but they'd find it immediately.
I hope they don't notice.
Oh, that's a Canadian penny. Nice try, eh? All right, let's take a quick break, and then we have your thoughts. Is there a woman that should be on the $10 bill? Who should it be? 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
This
is Destiny Child, who a lot of people
just
should
one.
Yeah,
Destiny's
Child, and a lot of people say they should be on the $10 bill.
Who has said that, Bill?
A lot of people have said that.
I'll just say now that I didn't have to tell Bill who that song was by; he just knew.
I know the Destiny's Child.
I'm not, I don't even want to take Rich's call. We're talking about the $10 bill. There's a woman who's going to be on it, and who's losing their spot?
Well, Alexander Hamilton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rich, I don't even want to put you on the air to talk about this, but we did. So what's going on? Who do you want on the bill?
Kardashian buck or a dollar. The buck.
It should be Kardashian butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The back end of the bill would weigh more than the front end of the bill.
Hey, have a good day.
Thank you, very much, Rich.
I wonder if Rich saw her naked picture today, her selfie with the other girl.
Emily Ratajkowski. Yeah, there's pictures.
Well, you whipped her name out pretty easily.
Well, you know, there's pictures on your internet. If anyone's hooked up to the internet, there's pictures of them without their clothes on. It's nice.
Hey, Tony, the woman you're guessing, was she ever shown without her clothes on?
I certainly hope not. but it will help the visually impaired Janet Reno.
Oh, yeah, put Janet Reno on a $10 bill.
Yeah, or how about Sister Angelica? She's always begging for money, so you might as well.
She died, Tony. She can't beg anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that one. I'm in mourning now.
No, please. It's all right.
It's afternoon.
Thank you, Tony. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
Yeah, the whole Sister Angelica thing, I was very sad to hear about that. She was very pleasant. Mm-hmm. She was like 96.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure out, Bill has brought up, there's a surprise woman. They haven't told us
Nobody
yet,
Nobody knows yet.
And when are they going to introduce it?
They just say later in the year, but they're not giving a specific date yet.
All right, Joe, what do you think?
Well, if this is to commemorate the 100th anniversary of women voting, then why don't they have women vote for who's going to be on there?
That's not bad. Just women, not men.
Right. And then we could have suffragette men out in the streets protesting for the right to vote for this.
That's true. It would create a firestorm, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that.
It would be some full circle. It would be
all right. I like that.
I like the way you think for some reason, Joe. It's crazy, but I like it.
Thank you.
You're
very welcome.
What about Lucille Ball?
I thought of Lucille.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But you'd have to go with her as...
You wouldn't do her dressed as a man as she did in many, many episodes, because that would defeat the purpose.
Yeah, but when you say Lucille, I guess Lucille Ball, I think of the Mr. Mooney days. It's just Lucy.
From the Lucy show?
Yeah, it's got to be Lucy.
Right. Do her in her prime.
Yeah.
When she was with Desi Arnaz.
What about who's the woman kissing her muscle?
Oh,
Rosie the
lady,
Riveter.
Yeah, the lady from the posters during the war. That'd be all right. Except I don't think she was. That was just a model posing, right? That's not a. I don't know. I think
can't
they want
fictional characters on the money.
Most money doesn't have fictional characters on it. No.
How do you know? Have you seen Monopoly Bucks? Hey, Vern.
Hey, how you doing there, Bill and Wendy?
Excellent, Vern. Who should be on the new $10 bill? It has to be a woman. Who should it be?
Well, I'm thinking of Eunice Kennedy.
Oh, that's not
she got
bad.
The Special Olympics started.
Yep, that's not
that's
bad.
That's a good one.
I like that. That would be, yeah, that would make sense. Thank you, Vern.
Good, thank you.
All right, take care.
And again, I didn't realize, because they do say, hey, how the dead presidents, they mean the money.
That just means money, usually.
But Alexander Hamilton, first U.S. Secretary of Treasury, was not, in fact, a president. And then there was another one that you guessed. There was another guy.
Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah, on the $100 bill.
Mm-hmm. Does it say who was on the two? Because I was sure that he was the guy. The $2 bill did not last long, but I thought it was Benjamin Franklin who was on the two. It doesn't say?
Why don't you take a call?
All right, hold on a second. Let's go to Irene. Irene, go ahead. If you're going to put a woman on a bill, on a $10 bill, who do you think it should be?
I think it should be Sacagawea, sometimes pronounced Sacagawea.
Yeah. Wait, who, is that how you really pronounce Sacagawea?
How pronounces it that way?
It's Sacagawea or Sacagawea. It depends on what part of the country you're in.
Chicago.
Okay, all right.
Further west, it's Sacagawea. And I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and it was Sacagawea.
Well, she's already on the coin, though.
She was on the coin. She was on a coin and given like a month and a half to be on it.
Right.
So I'd like to see her return. She did a terrific job of leading Lewis and Clark across the western part of the country and returning with them and raising a family at the same time.
That's a typical woman doing everything at once.
Everything.
How about it, Irene?
Yeah. All right.
She had an abusive, drunken husband at the time.
Oh, so then for sure they should put her on.
She was terrific.
All right.
Well, thank you. We'll put you down for Sacagawea or Sacagawea.
How about the ladies from The View?
No.
Either the past ladies of The View or the current ladies of The View.
Unless you go Barbara Walters.
How about the girls from Sex and the City?
No.
No?
Thomas Jefferson, by the way, was on a $2 bill.
Was it Thomas Jefferson?
Still is. Yes.
I must have been buying fake ones then. I thought it was Benjamin Franklin.
No, he's on the 100.
Oh,
remember the Franklins? Or what? Yeah. Give me some Benjamins.
Right. I went to Banco Popular and I got some with Tito Puente on a $2 bill. That doesn't seem right.
No, it's Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States. Man, I did not pay attention in history class. All right, an idea from Carl. Who should be on the $10 bill that will be revealed later this year?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Any particular reason, Carl?
I'm sorry, I can't hear right now.
All right, we'll call you back.
We can't listen.
Right, it worked out nicely.
Ellen DeGeneres, I love her
She's
so much.
She's a very kind woman.
Not on the money. What does she have to do with money?
She makes a lot of it.
Yeah, but so does... Then we go back to Oprah.
She could use it as ID if she goes somewhere. She goes, look, this is me on the 10.
Well, they did that with the American Express card, so now you could just have all these people going, hey, I'm on the
right. It's easier
$10
that way.
Bill.
I don't think you can be alive and be on currency, like the same way with a stamp. Like you can't have a living person on a stamp, so it's got to be that way with currency too, right? There's no living people on...
What about Jackie O? Are they going to put her on a bill?
That would be all right. Jacqueline Onassis? Why not?
Jackie
Kennedy.
She didn't do more than Eunice.
Yeah. No, I guess you're right. It's too bad.
Betsy Ross.
Is that your vote? You go Betsy Ross on this?
Yeah. I mean, she made the flag. She sewed the first flag.
How about Ann Coulter?
How about no?
And they can make the bill even thinner than it already is.
All right. I like the way you think.
All right. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.